B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, we get started on this Wednesday morning Jack and Cade show on The Fanatic. Our 6 a.m. hour brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. In honor of Jamie, I put on a little olive green today. But to be very honest, I just had to ask Coach if it was olive green.
Yeah,
I thought it was olive green. I thought it was, but I had to ask Coach because I'm shade blind.
Good earth
so
tones.
I don't know if it's olive green or not. Coach is looking at me like, what's he asking me? What color shirt he has on today?
The same color Jamie has on.
I knew it was green. Now, is this shirt the same color as your jacket?
Very similar.
See, to me, it seems much darker. To me, this seems much darker, like a dark green.
Yeah, you both look MASH. You
there
both
it is.
Look like you belong in the set of MASH.
There it is. Hawkeye.
Yes.
Hawkeye Pierce, right?
Yep.
Thanks to our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Had a good shower this morning. Nice hot water and everything. Thank you, Bradford White. It seems as if there's always got to be a target of blame. It can't just be in general that a group of people stink or something's wrong, except if it's one of our staff meetings. The defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, is learning this lesson about Philadelphia after just four games. To me, I think there's a big difference between blame and critique. And I've always thought this, and I don't know if it's a word that Bob has used in writing or otherwise, but this is what I've always looked at it as. Gannon is definitely deserving of critique, but I don't know that he's worthy of blame. My summation is, you criticize him for playing a 3-4 when you feel he really doesn't have the personnel potentially to thrive in it. That is critique. I believe a good coach adjusts the plan to the talent he has. I'm not seeing that enough yet. Maybe we will this week in Carolina. To me, he's doing the square peg in the round hole thing. I also think he hasn't taken at least a few more chances to be aggressive. And I don't want him to be aggressive that often. He tried it three times on Sunday, and one of them he got burned for a 44-yard touchdown, which shows you no one in the Eagles secondary can hang with elite wide receivers, so he doesn't want to blitz. He doesn't want to put people on an island. But to me, you've got to be aggressive from time to time, and that's the critique. You got to put it on tape. You got to show people that you're willing to do it. You have to have them think, is this the time he's going to go after the quarterback? Now, that's the critique. The blame, though, to me, goes on the guy who gave him his talent to work with. I don't know if it's as big a statement up here, but in the South, they love to say, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken. You know
I
the rest.
Balls.
I blame the front office for the recipe, the ingredients that Jonathan Gannon's been asked to work with. But it's his job to come up with a better recipe to try to make it somehow tasty. Criticism of Gannon, fair. Blame of Gannon, absolutely 100% incorrect in my opinion. And that's where we begin the 6 a.m. hour of the John Kincaid Show with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille. We've got Connor Thomas answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975. And Heavy Chevy is directing you on YouTube and Twitch, and we appreciate everybody who is streaming as often as you can on the 97.5 The Fanatic mobile app. Do you look at blame and critique as the same word? Blame and criticism is the same word, Bob? Because I do not. I've always looked at them as different.
No, when you criticize, you come to conclusion of blame. So it has to be criticize, criticize, criticize equals blame in mind. No, you get to blame after criticism is the way I look at it. I can't go to the definition of blame yet. With anyone, Jonathan Gannon, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, it's only four games in. I can't sure. have a definitive answer yet. And we're going to get into this a lot today. He confused the hell out of me yesterday. I kind of hope he was lying to us, which is what people are prone to do behind a microphone when they're heads of a football, baseball, basketball, hockey team. He didn't make much sense there, but I kind of agree with your chicken salad out of chicken bleep, because I don't know what he has to work with. I've seen really good coaches have really bad talent, not be able to do anything with it. It's, you know, great coaches kind of make a living on getting something out of not great talent, but it's a rarity. Look, we can look up and down this Eagles defense. Is it scheme or is it personnel? Because I'm leaning heavily towards personnel.
I absolutely I think it's personnel, and I don't even think it's a question that it's personnel. That Eagles secondary doesn't have a playmaker in it. They have no playmakers.
Yeah, but some of the things he said yesterday, and as I said, we'll get into it later, it's almost they're going hand in hand. You don't have the personnel, but what are you doing?
I don't know what I thought yesterday was a bad day for Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah, it wasn't the best look. It wasn't confidence-inducing. It wasn't any of that. I agree. His what he's got to work with right now, you know, some of the best restaurants in town use some of the best products, and it's that simple.
That's good.
You know, like, you need the best quality ingredients to make a great meal, and that's just plain and simple. You know, you can scratch up, you know, a ramen, you know, a 99-cent ramen dish and ham it up with some eggs and some sriracha and some, you know, ingredients to spice it up a little bit. But it's still a ramen bowl. You're just kind of covering up what is a cheap 99-cent, you know, dry powder packet. So I think that's kind of where he's at. You know, against a great quarterback, I think they're in big trouble. Against, you know, a Sam Darnold of the world, against a Matt Ryan of the world at this stage in his career, you can probably pass that chicken salad off as something tasty. When you're playing a Mahomes or a Dak Prescott, I think it's going to take like chicken bleep on a roll.
He doesn't give me confidence, Pat, and that's what I really didn't enjoy yesterday. I wanted to have more confidence in what I heard him say, and nothing he was saying gave me that confidence.
No, he didn't really instill a lot of confidence in me either. But I try not to read too much into these press conferences. I think Jamie's analogy with the ramen bowl is so dead on. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still going to be a pig. And this Eagles defense is a pig. You can spice it up with signing this guy and this guy, and we can convince ourselves, oh, Eric Wilson, you know, he can get the job done. No, he sucks.
No.
Like, it's a bunch of crappy players, and it goes back to, I think we were talking about it yesterday, the day before, that if they addressed they can address every single defensive position in the draft, and everybody would be okay with it. That is the sign of a terrible defense. Defensive tackle, if they drafted a defensive end, linebacker, cornerback, safety, no one would bat an eye at any of those positions. That is the carbon copy of a bad defense.
That's a really good point.
I think you just gave me the dream of the offseason. Am I seeing the numbers right? Jamie, I know you love to dive into these. I mean, seeing like $74 million or something
like that. Oh, yeah, they're going to be going next year.
$74 million in salary cap.
And there's an out in Brandon Brooks. There's an out in a couple.
Which must be taken.
Yo, absolutely.
Must
at this
be
point,
taken.
You have to. And there's a couple other guys with that. There's going to be big coin and big draft capital next year. So you can retool this in a hurry. You really can. The NFL's not the NBA.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm very confident. I'm very confident they're going to have...
No, you're not.
Just no,
you're
I am. No, I'm very confident they are going to have the resources.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm not very confident that who's doing the shopping and who's going to be coaching them up at the moment, but it's only four games, so I'm going to give these guys time. But when Jonathan Gannon was going third person yesterday, talking about Jonathan Gannon, that gave me the creeps. I'm like, okay, stop. Stop. I can almost take it when LeBron goes third person. He loves to go third person. I can almost handle it.
Yeah, it's
not with Jonathan Gannon.
You know, I do take all that stuff with a grain of salt. I've had assistant coaches come up to me that have to talk GMs in front of a microphone and ask me, like, what could I do better?
Really?
These guys aren't made. I mean, think about
That's excellent, though.
You do the grind of trying to be a head coach, whether you get to the college level and then the pro level. It's football, basketball, whatever it is. You dive right in. Your thoughts aren't, let me practice talking to a group of people in front of a microphone and sound like I know what I'm talking about. It's not easy.
Here's the thing, though, is
I had 57 million, okay. Just crack calculation.
Oh, 57. Okay, yeah. So 74.
But there's probably a little bit more that I'm missing. That was just quick.
If I was giving you, Bob, if I said to you right now, tell me about your lovely daughter or your wife, you'd go, You could tell me anything I needed to know. If I asked you, Bob, tell me about your high school, your high school friends who've been your lifelong friends. Answer them all. When you can't talk behind a microphone, tends to be because you don't want to say what you want to say. There are times in the back of my head I have to go, okay, use your word carefully. Use your words.
Yeah.
Occasionally it doesn't work out and Pat grabs it. You have to say, use your words carefully. Don't, when you're criticizing someone, I never like to do the cheap shot of calling somebody an idiot, a moron, jackass. As much as we want to mock Jamie for other you have to watch in your head. I think it's because people aren't telling the truth. That they can't speak behind a microphone.
Yeah.
They have or they're purposely trying to tell you nothing.
Well, there's cameras, there's, you know, people with microphones. Sure, I could talk to you guys all day, and I don't have any much problem talking in public, but there are guys that do. You know, I was more comfortable when I was young talking in a gym in front of kids and, you know, in a practice or in a gym than I would have been going up in front of, you know, LaSalle College asking me to come and talk to a bunch of... That's when I was younger.
Okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I go back to this, and it's always stuck in my mind, and I may have told this story before. I played for an unbelievably successful high school basketball coach, one of the best New Jersey's ever seen. He's in the Big Five Hall of Fame. Every accolade that could be put upon him. We had a game one time in high school, and it was on TV, and he got interviewed after the game, and we were shocked. Like, he came off like, oh, my God, this is a guy that was in control of every little thing in every phase of life. And he came off in this interview. We were like, who the hell is that? It didn't seem like him at all. It's sometimes it's hard for guys to get in front of mic. Look, the biggest example I'll give is Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie and I could sit and I could learn anything about him from a conversation. But he got in front of a microphone in front of people and he was just...
Because he didn't want to tell the truth.
Didn't like it.
Or he didn't want to say what he wanted to say. Like, he's worried about what he's saying. That, like, he's talking in a... He's in a verbal straitjacket.
Yeah, that's a good point, something that I'd have to think of, but he just wasn't comfortable no matter what. I mean, we're talking introductory press conferences.
Oh, jeez.
Where, you know, that's just him, and I don't put anybody down about that.
By the way, if you want to join in this conversation, we'd love to hear from you at 610-632-0975. Again, I know that I put too much emphasis on hearing somebody speak. But I always think of it as, is someone in command? Is someone in leadership? Is someone in... and I got to tell you, even some of the mic'd up stuff that the Eagles put out, these guys seem underwater. 4 games into the season, they seem a bit underwater. They don't seem to be able to articulate any kind of plan out of the 1-3 start. I'm hoping it doesn't become 1-6, Jamie. They can't articulate a plan out of this.
They seem young.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Young. Like, I think their age shows. I mean, they're the same age as me. If I had to get up and get grilled by Philadelphia media after letting up 40 points, I don't think I would do very well. You know what I mean? Like,
many of your Monday shows aren't your best.
Yeah, so I think their inexperience is showing, and you know, that's okay, because that's kind of what I expected.
You expected it. Pat, are you all right with that?
Yeah, I think we are living proof that sometimes you get in front of the mic and you just say stupid stuff.
I almost went down in front of 2 dudes.
Like,
yes.
As a prime example.
Sometimes that happens.
Jamie didn't want that out.
Well, Jamie didn't want to say that, and he said it.
Yeah.
You know, in a press conference, if Jamie says that, it's the lead story on the Daily News.
But we have to remember, like, these guys are getting used to being interviewed as head coach, defensive coordinator. Like, they're not used to that role, and I don't think they're used to figuring out exactly how to say what they're trying to say without giving out too much information.
Hey, whatever you're into, you're going to find it at Audible. Listen to thrillers, motivation, comedy, and more with podcasts, bestsellers, and originals all in one app. Sign up and start free at audible.com. We're going to give away another autographed Flyers jersey today. How about this? We're playing Name That Flyer today. You got to be listening 7:30, 8:30, 9:30. And we'll give you a clue as to who the secret flyer is. And then at 9:45, you call in and guess after getting all 3 of the clues.
It's not Robert Esch. Cross him off the list.
Or Martin Baron.
He had a good neck beard. He was up there with Coy Detmer and the neck beard goats.
Andrew Luck was the worst.
Yeah.
Mike in South Philadelphia joins us on the Fanatic this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Chiming in on your conversation about speaking in public, coaches. My cousin was drafted by a major league team about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and I remember, he used to tell us that they put them through classes on how to speak to the media, and they had tests on it, and it's a really, really big deal.
It is a big deal because I think it's more important than, and I've always been told, I got to tell you, I've always been told by my peers in this industry, you put way too much emphasis on what people say. I think it's a crappy look when someone can't articulate their thoughts, can't say, they're asked a direct question and they can't give you a direct answer. I think it's a bad look for a leader. I think, to me, that tells me I'm not believing in you. I don't believe in you.
Yeah, I lean towards your side, too. I wouldn't go as far as say I don't believe in them, but I do find it, when you're in a position of that, I do find it curious sometimes. Like, look how much better Nick Sirianni's gotten.
Yes.
You know, it's
much better.
Much better. It's just something that he got used to, and he might wind up being one of the greatest behind the mic, you know, when he gets down the road and is a coach for many years, maybe. But it's not an easy thing, and it's not something like, look, you're a jock growing up. You're a jock. You get in the gym, you get on the ice, you get on the field. You're just out there playing and lifting and trying to get yourself better. And then you're supposed to tone it down and calm down and get behind a mic and give thoughtful, respectable answers. I see why it's a struggle for some people.
I admire Sirianni's progress.
Yeah.
Because I think he's made great progress.
Well, I think he's made it a conscious effort to get better at it.
And that's why I'm thinking he can do that in other parts
of
his coaching career.
Sure. I think there's a huge learning curve with these guys this year.
Now, Bob, you got to listening to and talking about Jalen Hurts and the Jalen Hurts decision-making process and how many plays he can make with his feet and things like that. And you had some thoughts on it you wanted to get discussed.
Yeah, well, it was funny. Sirianni did come out. One of the things he said that really stuck out to me at his press conference was that he wants Jalen Hurts to be able to make, or the team. He didn't specifically, when Jalen Hurts is scrambling, he wants the team to make better plays. So basically what he's saying is, we've seen the quarterbacks that extend plays and then throw, and receivers are open because they keep moving and keep getting open or try to keep getting open. We haven't seen a lot of that, and I didn't really think of it until we brought it up. We haven't seen a lot of that from Jalen Hurts, where he scrambles around and then releases the ball and something's getting open. So I think the point was, and I agree with him, if Jalen Hurts is going to be moving around, receivers can't quit on plays. And Devontae Smith, and I'm not saying he quit on plays at all, but I can just see Devontae Smith on doing some double moves, because I was watching some of the, you know, the guys that get on Twitter and show you the film. He is an awesome route runner.
He's a spectacular route runner.
He sets guys up off the line and makes his moves the way he does.
He knows the playbook as well as any player on that field.
It seems like it. So just look out for this weekend. I have a feeling with a really good Carolina defense that when we see Jalen Hurts scrambling around, instead of it going for the run of a first down or going for a run, I think he's going to be looking to throw a little bit more, and we might see it a couple of times this weekend.
Yeah, Jalen Reagor to the opposite of Devontae Smith. I've seen a couple clips of him now where if the ball's not coming his way, he kind of quits on routes.
Is it quitting on the routes, or he's not
fully selling them? Like, he's lackadaisical in his selling of the route, and that's something with a mobile quarterback. You always got to be alive. You always got to sell it. You always got to run that route like you know, the play could be extended, and Jalen Hurts can keep it alive. He's shown you an ability to do that. So they need to learn that.
That was great with that was Michael Vick. Receivers with Michael Vick.
Yeah.
He would extend. He would extend, and then guys would break open.
Yeah.
And he'd find them.
Yeah. And that's something
that's that has to happen more.
And Nick's, you know, his background is in wide receiver play. So, you know, I hope it's something he stresses to them. Look, you got a quarterback that can keep plays alive longer than a lot. So, you know, there's almost like a secondary route they got to find off of the original route at times, and hopefully it's something they work on.
And I hadn't even realized it.
Okay. You hadn't realized that they weren't finding that?
Yeah, did you guys think of it at all? Like, because when he said it, I said, oh, yeah, I get, and I had to think back games like, yeah, he really hasn't hit anybody when he's been scrambling on the run.
No, there has not been a lot of that at all. Derek in Merchantville joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Derek.
Hey, man, I just think it's downright embarrassing the way we're talking about how inarticulate these coaches are, not coming ready to be able to articulate points, as everyone said, that they've been working on and have interviewed their careers. Could you imagine if Mike Tomlin, Leslie Frazier, Dennis Green, any African-American coaches would have come to the podium, sounded as inarticulate as these guys,
and how they will be castigated amongst the fans and the media about not how being able to say what they're doing. And have people apologize and talking about they got to grow into this. No, they're being paid to articulate their points to the media.
Well, I will tell you that, and I've said it many, many times, that to me, Mike Tomlin is one of the best at not sugarcoating any of it.
Yeah.
And no, just telling and giving
his articulation, he had to come ready. He came just like Sirianni came.
Yeah, he I didn't expect this to be a.
Mike discussion. Tomlin also came into a Hall of Fame quarterback. They're different situations.
Whoa! Mike Tomlin's coming in.
I mean, he came into a better built situation than this right now.
I mean, he
Derek was going to a place that I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, like,
it's not even on the.
Any young coach, I would say, deserves a year to kind of get their legs under them, regardless of color.
There's
a learning curve with these guys, especially when you're 38 years old.
Oh no, well, I'm going to agree with them on one thing. I don't believe that the African American candidates have had necessarily the same learning curve afforded them.
I haven't covered any locally, so I don't know what the chatter is on these guys in their towns.
There's a coach who people say right now. God, Eric Bieniemy. Oh, he didn't interview well.
Yeah, that's a thing.
He doesn't interview well. So what does that mean? They're saying he can't. Are they trying to say he can't articulate? Are they trying to say it's always so vague? Like to me, is it? He can't articulate his plan.
Or maybe he just doesn't
like his plan.
Well. I don't know.
Right, I don't know. But when I think of somebody not interviewing well, white, black, Asian, Chinese, whatever, I think of somebody not interviewing well that they can't articulate their thoughts.
They said that about Becky Hammon in Portland, too, that she didn't interview well. I don't know.
It's a go-to excuse.
I think it's a crutch.
It's amazing.
But maybe some people just don't interview well. Like, I don't think I do.
When it's a minority, they don't interview well.
Yeah, there's a lot of I haven't heard many candidates of Caucasian candidates that they say doesn't really interview well.
Yeah, somehow Adam Gase interviewed amazingly.
Yeah, how Adam Gase got hired twice, I'll still never understand because I think he was crazy looking. I think he was a crazy looking guy.
Oh, he was bonkers at his first press.
And that's
conference.
What I'm saying is that, but he
got destroyed.
And he got a second. Yeah, but he got a second chance.
The Jets.
No, but that was his second chance, Jamie.
Yeah, but it's the Jets.
But it was his second chance.
It's the Jets.
It was his second chance. And the Eagles were interested in him too.
Well, thank God they dodged that bullet.
I was all about the Gase. When he got hired the first time, not Doug Peterson.
Oh, you
I was all about the Gase.
I was a Gus Bus guy.
I'll admit, you were a Gus Bus.
Yeah.
I was definitely not Gus because I wanted the offensive guru. I just didn't know he wasn't one. Hey, the Parks Sportsbook app's got a great offer for you. New customers sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free. Visit parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code Fanatic. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The one thing I didn't do, though, was trash the Peterson hire because of the fact that I had trashed the Andy Reid hire. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to get fooled twice. I'm not going to get fooled twice like an idiot. All right, we got a lot coming up for you, and we hope you'll stick around with us. There's a missed opportunity in this guy, or maybe it was just bad timing. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Week 5 offer for every football fan that you should jump on. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team simply scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I think it's safe to say this one's a no-brainer. DraftKings customers can also get skin in the game with the new same-game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. I use PayPal in mine. It's great. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANATIC. Bet just that $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's code FANATIC this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The law firm for injured workers? It's Martin Law. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. And we appreciate you being a part of the John Kincaid Show, getting up early with us, telling your family, telling your friends, taking the app with you all day long. It's a great thing, and we appreciate it when you do. For some reason, my Google Maps changed the where I drive every morning. I have no idea why. Bob was talking about it yesterday. Now it's trying to send me to a different location.
Trying to send you back to Atlanta.
There's a one Bala that's down. It's trying to send me there.
And I'm like, no, that's not where I'm going. Like, I don't, is there a different address here?
Is it sending you to 680 The Fan?
No, it's not.
There's a technical address, and then there's the building address.
Okay, you need to be technical.
Yeah, you need to be kind of careful.
Wait. You know where you're going.
I'm always thinking this, though, Pat. It got in my head today because I put it on because the Apple CarPlay just pops on. I always hit it. I was thinking of it because of what Bob faced yesterday.
What a buff.
Bob faced an overturned tractor trailer. His road's blocked. He had to take an alternate route to get to work.
I always put in GPS, even if I know where I'm going.
Right now, if I'm driving down 202 in the morning, and there was a tractor trailer, and I got to get off the road, I'm thinking, okay, what's the best? I'm not used to doing that trip, so I want them to redirect me. So that's why I was...
Caller has a point.
Yep. So that's where I'm at.
You can set your
Once
GPS,
I learn
though,
it...
Set your GPS to where it'll say work.
Yeah, so but the work changed addresses, I told you. It's going to this other address.
Pay attention, buddy.
I don't know why. It's going to another address.
I was listening to WOGL.
You were listening
My
to
bad.
Something else. By the way, we'll be at PJ's tomorrow morning. I mean, tomorrow afternoon.
Ooh, we can go tomorrow morning. Too. I'm in.
We'll be there tomorrow afternoon for our happy hour at PJ Willihan's in Cherry Hill. So it is a Bob Cooney home game tomorrow.
Stone throw, as Pat likes to say, from my house.
From Eagleville, too.
And Eagleville.
It's where all the Eagleville folks roll into, which is great. The timing was never right. But the Panthers, Matt Rhule, you know, Anthony loves this guy. And I do, too. He would have been the perfect guy to coach the Eagles as we get ready for this game this weekend. I'm not saying he's Vince Lombardi. In fact, I don't think he is. During game strategy, I absolutely don't think he is. But he has various success stories on his resume. He builds brands. He builds teams with a attitude and reputation. And he understood Philly really, really well. The timing was never right. There was never an opportunity, I don't think, to hire Matt Rhule.
No.
But watching this matchup, he would have been a good hire for this town.
Yeah.
He never would have been. He wouldn't have been up there behind a microphone. I don't know what I'm doing.
No, I mean.
And he arrived in the NFL knowing how to.
He's been doing press conferences back to Temple, back to Baylor, and now he was a little more familiar with it. You know, the Steichens and Gannons and Sirianni's of the world were low-level coordinators and scouts coming up.
And they're hidden from the mics.
Yeah, so exactly. They never stepped foot in front of a microphone. Matt came in a polished public speaker.
Politician.
Yeah. And he's a guy that has built programs to take Baylor out of a death penalty, more or less, and get them back to a reputable state. It was pretty damn impressive in a short period of time. So he has an air about him that I think people want to follow. And that's, I think, the nicest thing you can say about a coach.
Yeah, he's a builder, right?
Yes.
Comes to Temple, fixes things, build things. Leads to Baylor, fixes things, build things, goes to Carolina where things aren't going well. Looks like he's fixing and building there. I mean, that's exactly what you want. And now he's at the age, I think he's mid-40s or something, that longevity can be on his next, you know, his resume next. They might just keep him there for a while.
Well, they gave him a great contract.
Yeah.
They
did, yes. And one thing I'm always fortunate of is he's a New Yorker, and I believe his dream would have been to coach the New York Giants. I'm happy he's not up there.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not having to face him all the time.
I wasn't surprised he didn't go to New York, honestly, because if you remember when he was at Temple, Oregon was coming after him, and he surprised everybody, went to Baylor. Like, he's constantly kind of surprising people with the moves that he makes. In Carolina, it was, you know, the Giants' job is up, and he goes, no, I'll go to Carolina. Who in their right mind picks Carolina over New York? And Matt Rhule did it. You know, who picks Baylor at that point over Oregon? Matt Rhule did it. I think to Bob's point, I think he likes building up an organization, and also New York's a dumpster fire.
I would not want to go up against him. Joe Judge, give me it all day long. Even Nick Sirianni, in his current state, I'll take going up against Joe Judge.
Sure.
Because yeah. I'll feel fine. At worst, it's a scratch fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to scratch
fight.
Each other out.
Pillow fight.
It's not really a pillow
Nobody
fight.
Nobody wants to see that, Bob.
Jamie, you were trying to figure out. We were trying to figure out how many. It's 5-7 tomorrow, by the way. PJ Wheelahan's over in Cherry Hill. If you looked at the Eagles roster, how many untouchable players they have?
This is a scary exercise because I don't like my answers.
I wrote down my number. I can't wait to hear your names.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you whether they made my list or not. Because my list isn't long.
No, God, no.
Pat, is yours long?
Everybody brainstorm.
Wait, don't give yours yet. How many do you have about?
I have.
How can we do this?
So I have two locks. And I have two maybes I could be talked into for a right offer.
So you only have two locks?
Yeah.
I only have two locks also.
I have. We're not counting punter.
Supposed to God.
I have four.
Wow. Okay,
four locks.
Not locks. Four what, untouchables?
Yeah. Untouchables.
Right, I'll say four untouchables.
Pat, do you have a list of untouchables that's more than four?
Oh, God, no.
See? That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's why I have to, and I honestly, I did that exercise yesterday a little bit with myself, saying, with the blame game going, these guys were given crap to work with.
All right, so let's go through our names. My two are Jordan Mailata and Devontae Smith.
Oh, yep. I have five.
You didn't put one of them on there?
Mailata, I forgot to put on there.
Oh, my God, he was the first one
I
thought of.
Who's your third one?
Okay.
Then who's your third one?
He's stinking this.
Well, Bob's doing his homework in class.
I'll go.
Like he did back
well,
in Camden.
I didn't
Camden,
get a show sheet
like
he
did
at
Camden
ago.
Catholic.
Oh, it's coach's fault.
Wait, it was on Jamie's
no,
email.
We got
it's
your
it's on
fault.
Jamie's
no,
email last night.
Email.
I don't read emails.
Exactly.
I'll go Hargrave.
It's a good one. The only reason I didn't have him on there is he's approaching
28.
I love him, but if a right offer, he's in his prime.
I have Mailata and Mailata and Smith also.
I have Smith.
That's it.
I my maybes were Josh Sweat, and that's a huge maybe.
No. Huge
Dallas
maybe.
Goddard, huge maybe.
No. Huge maybe.
Hargrave, I didn't think of just because of the age, but he would be ahead of Sweat for me.
Nobody.
Wait a minute, you have nobody?
If the right offer came for anybody, including my love affair, Jordan Mailata, you'd have to consider it.
How about Dickerson?
He wasn't good his first game. Jury's still out. Like, I have nobody.
No, yeah, but Dickerson had a very nice game on Sunday.
He did.
He scored out very, very well.
His injury history makes me
scared.
Not have him as
a lock. And I agree with you. I couldn't put him as an untouchable.
Nope. If some team offered you a first-round pick for Dickerson,
oh my gosh.
You're taking it.
If some team
offered you a first-round pick for Lane Johnson, you're taking it. Like, this is the untouchable.
Yeah, nobody's doing that.
Like,
yeah.
No one's untouchable on this team.
But
they're crappy.
Someone would offer you a number one pick for Devontae Smith, and you wouldn't do the deal.
It depends on how bad the team is.
Someone would offer you
if it's after the season and it's a top five pick, you're absolutely taking that deal.
Nobody's going to give you a top five pick.
We're talking untouchable.
You're drunk,
and I'm saying you can touch him. It's got to be for the right price.
Yeah, I'm not touching Devontae Smith at all.
If I can get if he goes 1,000 yards this year, honestly, I went into the season thinking 800. Was what I was expecting. 800,
yeah, as a minimum.
800. Get 800 and probably four or five touchdowns. He's got one touchdown, I believe,
mm-hmm.
one, and he's on pace for 900 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Fine
with it.
It's funny, when you say 1,000-yard receiver, it's supposed to mean something, right?
It still does, though.
How many yards a game do you think you have to average to become a 1,000-yard receiver?
60. 72.
What'd you say?
It's 16, now it's 17.
Right.
So I'm just doing it in my head.
60?
17. 60?
59.
But it's a different world because they're being a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL still means something.
Oh, sure. Like, look, when you put that label on somebody, I think there's 20.
How many do you think there were last year?
I want to say 22.
13.
No, I'm asking you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. As far as like to me, I'm looking at that and saying I'm going to guess if I set the over under right now at 26.
Oh, I'll take the under of 26.
I'll take the under 26.
Okay, so if it's under 26, that tells you an 800 yard season is really damn good in a passing league, though.
Yeah.
Too. Also.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like the way
I'm setting the over under 26.
Yeah.
I would believe there's probably around 26.
Well, Jamie can't count.
1,000-yard receivers. I would think that, you know,
I'm
from
getting
last
there,
year.
Bob.
Oh, I would think boy. So. By the way, you have beers with Bob tonight.
Yes, we do. We're at Live Casino Hotel down in South Philly. Me and Andrew Salchunas. 6 to 7. But we will be there bright and early. So you can come on by. You
hang
know,
out.
Hang out.
We'll all right.
How many?
The show. Well, all right, Bob, you're doing the you know, the beers with Bob. It's a gambling show. Mm-hmm. What would you gamble? What would you set the line at?
I said
at
26.
What would you, Mr. Beers with Bob?
I said 22 and a half.
All right, you're both under in a big way. It was 18 last year.
So, I mean, a 1,000-yard receiver means a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
That means
there's less than 20 of them in the whole world.
That means 60% of the NFL has one.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Keenan Allen was at 992, Corey Davis, 984, Marvin Jones, 978. So
can
there's
you
guys.
Do me a favor, those 1,000-yard receivers, can you tell me what they would average as far as touchdowns, like or the neighborhood of touchdowns?
Roughly five, like seven.
Okay.
7.5.
That's why I'd be really happy if he gave.
Davante Adams had 18 touchdowns. My God.
That kid who throws to him. He's a real socially awkward.
There is still nobody in the league that I like watching more in the NFL right now than Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers and Adams are fun as hell to watch.
I love watching Aaron Rodgers play.
And you know where a lot of his plays come from? Those secondary breakoff routes where Rodgers is keeping a play alive and you just got to keep going for longer than the 4 seconds that you have in your head.
And he's got a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps.
But Davante Adams knows where to keep going to get open.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the weird thing is that John Cheeseborough is like 1,500 yards is the new benchmark on our Twitter feed.
There was exactly one.
One. That's not the new benchmark.
That was Stephon Diggs.
That's ridiculous.
There was three.
One guy got to 1,500 yards.
Four over 1,400. That was Justin Jefferson, DeAndre Hopkins,
right.
Travis Kelce, who's a tight end, and Stephon Diggs. So three wide receivers.
Elite, if you're talking the elite of the elite. Oh, like if you said back in the day, 1,000-yard rusher. 1,000-yard rusher has become much more commonplace for a lot of
guys.
Sure,
yeah.
And then now that it's become all-purpose yards. But receiving yards, to say, look, right now it would be, if you wanted to say to me, the elite receiver gets 1,000 yards, when 18 guys do it,
mm-hmm.
and you have 32 franchises,
yeah.
1,000 yards is still a very, very strong benchmark.
Yeah, it is.
That's the number.
It is.
Which is crazy.
Because Keenan Allen, it's I think, crazy, is an awesome though. Player, and he's just below 1,000.
Because I just guessed 26. So
yeah,
I thought.
I was 14.
I thought there'd be 26 of them.
I underbid.
And there was. Well, no, you went on the Price is Right.
Yeah. Price is
Bob
Right rules,
Bob hates
right?
Price is Right.
Bob
doesn't like it, too. Now he would hate it.
Bob doesn't like fun.
I mean, look, who's the guy that hosted Drew Carey?
Drew Carey.
I just saw him on an interview yesterday. Look at him. He looks horrible. Like,
what do you
look
mean?
Look what the Price is Right has done to him.
No, it's because he did the... It's because he did the
clean cut.
No, he did the
little, and now he's like...
No, he went COVID crazy. He went COVID crazy. And he also did the
weed?
Lap band.
Oh.
He did the lap band.
Well, see what it does to you?
Yeah, but I think it does.
All the things to hate, the Price is Right.
And you're hating on a man who lost weight.
What the hell is wrong with you?
You probably don't like Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Oh, I love Auntie Anne's pretzels. Oh. That was a go-to when I was traveling.
You're not allowed to love them if you don't like the Price is Right.
I'm
like, there's
sorry,
just Americana.
I don't like the Price is Right. I'm a fun guy. I'm happy.
You're not fun, Bob. You're not fun at all.
I am.
We don't do fun on this show with you.
Coach was questioning our professionalism on the break.
What?
He was.
What? Wait a minute. Dirty laundry or what?
I said, Coach, we're professionals.
This is as dirty as it gets.
And he said,
let's air out our dirty laundry.
Well, that's what got
Talk
him
about
upset.
It, coward.
Somebody aired out something.
Say it with your chest, Coach.
Talk about it.
Good, Coach.
What happened?
The gas problems of this morning show.
Whoa. Don't point me into this.
Hey, easy there, cowboy.
Don't point me into this group.
First of all,
I walk away and do it like a gentleman.
Who do you got? Who's the offender? I get called out all the time. Go ahead. Call out Egan. I don't care.
No, we're good.
Connor?
No, you're
Heavy Connor. Chevy's busting ass?
No, it's Connor.
No, it wasn't good. Connor.
What I love is Bob literally lives by this motto of, I never do it.
That's
like
right.
Bob tries to say, I never do it. he will sit here and just hotbox an entire office.
That's not true.
And then he has the audacity to come on the airways and lie to the public. You're a yellow-bellied coward.
I can't imagine, though.
It's ridiculous.
Price is Right is joy.
I just don't think so.
It's joyous to see people win cars and...
I think Drew Carey probably beefs. He's in the Bob Cooney world.
Whoa! Let's get off this Bob Cooney train, okay? It was.
By the way, I know it's 2022 now, though. But they all 2021.
Oh,
but they also have the now. There's more. I think they have more dude models than they have female models.
Yeah, it's probably 50-50.
It seems like it's more.
It might be.
I'm like, wait a minute.
That's why Bob Barker left.
I know we're trying to be politically correct on everything, but now you can't even, now it's got to be, it's like, the other day they had like a
ladies need some skin too.
A new ski boat or whatever.
When Bob Barker tried to make the moves on a showcase model and it was Glenn, that was the problem.
That's what happened.
He knew he needed to step away.
They needed to have his pet spayed or neutered.
Absolutely.
But Bob couldn't do the 50th anniversary episode the other day and I was a little... They did the 50th episode prime time special. Bob couldn't appear on it. And I'm like, oh boy.
If all the game shows I could be a contestant on, I think that's the one I'd choose.
Yeah.
I think it would be...
No.
What would you do?
Choose?
Plinko.
I'm going to lose on Jeopardy eventually.
If I lucked
into a one-day win...
Nah, Jeopardy's too tough.
Because when you get to science and geography and everything, I'm done. So I'm going to probably lose on that. I can't think of
Match
the other...
Match game. I love Match
Game. Yeah, but the thing is, it's too random.
But they drink on Match Game. Like, those guys are
not
anymore.
No, okay,
yes, they do.
Now we got it.
They do.
Now
Price is Right serve beer?
Everybody's sober at the Price is Right.
What's the one where you can... I don't want the one where they have to, like... There's one of them where they make you... They talk... The Elizabeth...
Squid Game.
Elizabeth... Not Elizabeth Hurley. she hosts the game show The Pressure Luck.
Oh, Press Your Luck is good. No way.
It's a great show, but the thing is, it's they fix it. That computer, they fix that thing. Come on now.
No way. No.
And then they're going, and then they bring her over and she goes, what are you, we have a prize particularly picked for you. You're getting this van because you take your aunt to dialysis every week. And they have to do this whole video of showing the aunt. And I'm like, wait a minute, you went and videotaped the aunt going to dialysis? Oh, we've got the aunt on TV here, and she wants you to win that van. And I'm like, they actually will have the aunt on a split screen, and they're talking to her about how much do you need her to get that van because she takes her to dialysis. I'm like, I don't need this on a game show. Just let them win the damn van.
You don't need the heart-wrenching Tom Rinaldi story?
No.
Does Tom Rinaldi show up with the van and the mom and the dialysis? That would be amazing.
It's why I can't watch the Olympics because it's 45 minutes of hype leading up to a two-minute race, and they've taken you to the hometown, and here's Bill, and here's Bill's, his aunt, who had her eye poked out in a hunting accident, and they have to tell you the whole backstory of his entire town, is everybody lost their jobs when the factory closed. It's like, stop. And then they got the sad music playing. I don't want to feel sad. I want to watch these great athletes race.
You know what would be a low-key one I'd love to be on? Cash Cab.
Cash Cab would be fun.
You're not going to win a lot of money, though.
That's the reason I wouldn't choose it, because the money payout isn't huge.
I think Price is Right be great.
I think Cash Cab would be fun.
I'd be all over Cash Cab.
You're going to wear shirts.
You can win on Cash Cab.
That's the thing. It's like when there's a 50-50 at a sporting event, and people don't play when it's only like $3,000. Like, you got to figure that you have a better chance of winning $3,000 than with $30,000.
Pat, would you stop the logic?
You have a better chance of winning some cash than Jeopardy or these big time show like
Cold
Deal or
hard
No Deal.
Cash.
All right, if you want, you can DM me and I'll tell you where the when they used to tape it in Manhattan, where they would pick people up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it still live? I don't even know.
I don't know if it's
They brought it back for a little bit. I don't know if it's still around.
They brought it back on Netflix, didn't they?
No.
People like Bob probably
killed
it.
It's definitely not on Netflix.
Can you imagine Bob getting into a cab?
He'd be like, just drop me off.
Some of my best
conversations were when I was traveling.
Yeah, but I'm talking about hotboxing the cab driver.
Just drop me off.
I love it.
Leaving a gift.
That smells natural up in New York. It's everywhere.
Hey, Spring Garden Lending has you real estate developers. Listen up. Bob Marino, who's a friend of Cuz, so you can trust him, at Spring Garden Lending specializes in bridge and permanent loans to acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance investment properties. Spring Garden Lending, faster than a bank, less expensive than hard money lending. I would love to see Bob on The Price is Right. I would love to see that. Would you understand the strategy of the game so you don't even watch it?
I know the game.
Because I'm always
they're not made for rockets.
It is, because people can't do math.
I would spin the wheel so damn hard it would still be
that's
gone.
That's why I want
to
play.
Piss them off.
I want to crank the wheel.
Oh my gosh. All right, we start the 7 o'clock hour. How does Nick measure up? Well, it's only been 4 games, right? Everybody's telling you, it's just 4 games. It's just 4 games. How does he measure up in 4 games? We'll talk about it coming up. Remember, tomorrow we will be out at PJ's in Cherry Hill for a happy hour. We hope that you're going to join us out there. Hopefully we'll get to see some of you. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Now, if you own a home, you need a stable of trusted service providers. And I'm finding this out even with a new home. You need H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Joe Hoke and his family are taking care of mine right now. I got to tell you this, it's not because we have a Delco background together with the Hoke brothers. I'm telling you, they take pride in customer service. They take it to a different level. And with winter right around the corner, this is my public service announcement to you. It's the time to schedule a furnace tune-up for $69 for a limited time. Go to H&H or go online, DelcoHVAC.com, schedule a furnace tune-up. And while you have H&H at your house, they can perform for you a routine carbon monoxide test so you can sleep soundly knowing that your family's protected. We're talking about 24/7 service, 7 days a week, live person always at the other end of the phone. The other night, my brand new system installed by another company wasn't shutting off. I just called Joe Hoke. And that's easy. You go to Delco HVAC. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. Schedule that furnace tune-up. $69 for a limited time. With winter on its way, don't be caught out in the cold or in the cold. H&H will make sure your home's ready. Tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Egan's a perfectionist in his own right. He has a couple missteps when he's reading something. And watching him do the... You're like throwing your arms in the air. You're like chucking out the copy. It's all right, Pat.
Today, Junior!
He's his own biggest critic.
7 a.m.
It's just words on paper.
It's bigger than he is.
Why can't I read it?
My sportsbook app of choice is the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. I understand their handicappers have been called into a special meeting and said Kincaid took us to the cleaners this weekend for $158.
Look at
and they're
out.
A little nervous.
Oh, good for you.
They're a little nervous. They're saying we need to tighten up our policies here. This guy's going to bleed us dry like $150 at a time.
Mm. How will they pay the bills?
It dug me out of my $3. I was $3.75 ahead. Now I'm rolling in it, Pat.
Now you're rich.
Now I'm rich. Now I'm going for it.
Burritos on you. Oh,
by the way, there's a warning. Syphilis cases are on the rise in Delaware County. My wife sent me this alert today. She's 750 miles different. It's a story that popped up. Syphilis cases are on the rise in Delaware County. How about
wee wee area?
How about syphilis is expected to be up 104%?
What?
In 2021 in Delco.
I'm a lesbian and even I know that's a penis.
It's expected to exceed 210 cases. So syphilis is on the rise in Delco.
Don't be a fool.
Wrap it up. Tool.
Just be careful.
Wrap it up, B.
We just did our public service.
It's like the more you know.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do.
We're just trying to help people not get the clap.
Okay, last night, what was the terrible Saturday morning show that I can't even think of his name?
John in Cincinnati.
The former basketball player.
Hanging with Missy Cooper.
No, that was a prime time show.
Friday night.
It was a Saturday morning show.
NBA Inside Stuff?
No, it was like they tried to do Sopranos. A Saved by the Bell about basketball.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. It was Reggie Theus.
Reggie Theus.
Yes.
Horrible acting performance. Yeah,
horrible.
Entourage.
He was a high school coach.
He was a high school coach, and they just did Saved by the Bell in various different.
Yeah, basically.
Like, they just kept rewriting it. And they'd even have the same type of characters.
Hang time. Yeah, hang time.
Yeah, there you
hang
go.
Time. I remember the theme song, yeah.
What?
It was like, hang time. The theme song was horrible. It was like very early 90s.
I saw the 30 for 30 of one of the shows, and they were about the sitcoms, the kids sitcoms. And they did one. They said, hell, they just took the network said, wait a minute. These kids are watching Saved by the Bell. Let's just make five of them. Like, they came up with and they just said, we'll make this one about basketball. They made a California one.
Yes, I remember. I know what you're talking about.
They were like a rock band or something. They just said.
So can you name?
But Grant Tinker, I believe, was the head of NBC. And he just said, take this concept and make it into shows. And even the kids hung out at the same restaurant.
The Max.
They would just change it up.
So can you name, there's an NFL Hall of Fame assistant coach to write Reggie Theus in Hang Time. I got $2 for whoever can name it.
An NFL?
NFL Hall of Famer. Reggie Theus' assistant coach in Hang Time. Come on, Bob.
Alex Karras?
No.
Well, he was on
Dick Butkus?
Good acting, I'm telling you. All right, that's great. It's been four games for Nick Sirianni. It's been four games. So, I mean, I keep hearing that. It's been four games. That's where we're at. So, I'm going to tell you that four games. That's what I keep hearing from everybody. So, I believe it's way too small of a sample size. But in four games, how does he measure up to others? And does it even matter? Doug Peterson took over a 7-9 team from Chip Kelly back in 2016. So he picked up a 7-9 team. He didn't pick up a terrible team. He picked up a 7-9 team. He won his first three games with a rookie quarterback. He was 3-0 and averaged 31 points a game in his first three wins. And then there was a one-point loss at Detroit that made them 3-1. What's the difference? Rookie quarterback, a real rookie quarterback, not one who had a year under his belt and four starts. What's the difference between that rookie? That Doug Peterson surrounded himself with a veteran quarterback coach, offensive coordinator in Frank Reich, and a veteran defensive coordinator in Jim Schwartz. That was an incredibly experienced trio as a first-time head coach. The much-maligned Chip Kelly took over Andy Reid's most horrible team, probably his 4-12 team. Much like Nick Sirianni has. Kelly won his opener on the road at Washington, much like Sirianni did at Atlanta, and he then proceeded to lose the next three to start 1-3. After the 1-3 start, Chip Kelly went 9-3 the rest of the way. Anybody think Nick Sirianni can do that? Nick Foles took over as the starter, by the way, and went 8-2. Then Andy Reid was the worst of the bunch. He went 0-4 in his first four starts. But he went 5-7 afterwards.
Do you have when Donovan came in on that? Wasn't it after four games or five games?
I think it was like week seven.
Okay.
I think it was something like that. He went 5-7 after that. The moral of the story, though, this roster isn't far different than any of those other reclamation projects. This isn't a worse roster than Chip Kelly took over. This isn't worse than that roster. And I want to know, does Nick rebound? And are our expectations too low? That's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille. We've got Connor answering your phones at 610-632-0975 and Heavy Chevy. Now, I'm playing devil's advocate here. But what Chip Kelly took over was a horrendous 4-12 team. Horrendous. Terrible dumpster fire. And he went 1-3. And then after that, he turned it around and went 9-3. Andy Reid, even after an 0-4 start, went 5-7. Anybody think Nick Sirianni's going 5-7? Do you think he's going 5-7? I mean, he might.
He could.
He could. But are we giving this? I'm playing devil's advocate. Are we giving too much of a free pass to this year? Because they've seen it with Eagles coaches in the past. They've been able to come in, bad situations, first-year head coaches, and been able to win.
Yeah, it's the lowest expectations I can recall for a coach ever.
Why?
I think because you're very old and very young. Like, there's not much in the middle. Like, you're Javon Hargraves, where it's like, oh, he's in his prime. There's not many of them. It's, oh, well, Darius Slay's older, Lane Johnson's older, Fletcher Cox is older.
And they are, boy, the
BG's
way.
Older. So it's either you have, like, the extreme veteran or the rookie. There's not a lot in the middle. That's all I can kind of come up with. It's a weird mix.
Did you see the montage Sunday night before the Tampa Bay game? Did you realize that Tom Brady went back to New England? I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, did they cover that?
They covered it, like, really extensively. Yeah. But they played a montage of Bill Belichick. Year two of Brady, year four of Brady, year eight of Brady, year 12 of Brady, year 14 of Brady. Ripping Tom Brady at press conferences. Being critical of Tom Brady.
Sure.
Saying he's below expectations right now. He's not, and I'm sure he's not meeting his own expectations, but he's not delivering where we need him to deliver at different times. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this coaching staff handling Fletcher Cox? Fletcher Cox is not even showing up on stat sheets numerous games, and Bob was the one banging that drum, and it's true. And what does this coaching staff do? Oh, Fletcher's fine. He's fine. He's doing a lot of great things. Oh, no, there's no reason for concern here. We know Fletcher Cox is going to be Fletcher Cox. He's going to start showing up, and the impact he has is not... They are so kissing his ass.
But they know.
They are so kissing his ass, though.
But they're not going to say anything publicly. Like, these press conferences, while they're, and I do this in quotes, for fans and for the media to talk about, all that matters to those coaches is how they come off in that locker room. So they're never going to say anything. They're not going to say what they feel. Like, they know that Fletcher Cox isn't great.
So then what do the guys in the locker room look at them as?
Irrelevant?
No, they look at the coaches and go, he didn't even have the guts to, I'm in control. He didn't have the guts to stand up and say that I had a bad game.
Yeah, but if he's standing there,
if I've had four bad games, he doesn't have the guts to say. In fact, they just bend over backwards to say. Jonathan Gannon yesterday was making it sound like Fletcher Cox has been making an impact and it's all going to come. And he says it's all going to come. It's all going to come together.
Yeah, like we talked about before, apparently there is hard coaching that goes on down there from what we've been told. I can't imagine that they're looking Fletcher Cox in the face, that they're looking other guys in the face and saying, oh, no, you're fine, you'll be okay. Derek Barnett, they're telling us.
I hope they're not.
Derek Barnett, they're telling us publicly, oh, yeah, you know, we deal with it, but we move on. They better be getting in his face. I mean, it's ludicrous to say Fletcher Cox is playing well.
And the head coach and the defensive coordinator both have done it in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, and Jeff McClain wrote something.
Jeff did a great piece.
Yeah, he said he's gone back and looked. He's not getting double teamed as much as everybody thinks he is.
You got to read Jeff's piece.
He's like, yeah, he might be getting chipped every once in a while, but he's getting handled one-on-one. Like, Fletcher Cox may have just hit that 30-year-old thing after playing a lot of football in his career, and he's just not as good as he was before. So, you know, the comparison, when you bring up other coaches, I thought that other teams were better when coaches took over. Like, when Chip Kelly took over, you had...
The 4-12 Eagles?
Yeah, but they had... If you look at that roster, so you had...
They had Vic to start the year, and he got hurt.
And Foles had to take over. Right. You had a 1,000-yard receiver in DeSean Jackson. You had a 1,600-yard rusher in LeSean McCoy that year. Your defense still had, like, Cole, and you had some other guys...
Do you think Devontae Smith could do what Deshaun's doing in a year?
Yeah.
Like, be that dynamic wide receiver, and do you think that... Do you think that Miles Sanders could be the dynamic running back?
No, they're not going to give him a chance to do
that. No, well, that's on the coaching staff.
It sure is, yeah.
So to me, I think they have the tools to do what Chip Kelly did. They have the tools to do it. They're choosing not to do it. They're choosing not to do it with Miles Sanders. They're making the choice.
Well, unless they're saying something. 1,600-yard guy.
Shady
like
was so
that.
Good.
He was awesome.
Shady was freaking spectacular. Yeah. Now, could you get 1,600 combined yards? Sure.
I don't think that's unrealistic.
I don't think it's unrealistic that you could get that out of him.
Shady also had, this is amazing, Shady's that year that he had, John. He had 1,600 yards rushing.
500 receiving?
He had 539 receiving. He had over 2,100
yards. That was his one year. That was his one 2,000 yard year?
Wow, yeah.
His one, but which is not, I'm not trying to poo poo that.
No,
unbelievable.
No. Yeah.
Hey, Pat, do you have different memories of those first years or what?
I didn't really have a lot of high expectations for Doug, but when Carson Wentz was named the starter, you do. You have high expectations, meaning you want to see necessarily what he has, not necessarily the wins and losses, because you know they're going to be growing pains. But that
show
team,
me that smile again.
I'm not going to do it. That team was better than this current team. I think a lot of fans, myself included, came in and went, this roster's terrible. And it wasn't like Jalen Hurts was drafted second overall. He was drafted in the second round, and it was a reach. So,
Mike and Del Ran joins us from our jury. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Are you packed for Vegas yet, Mike?
No, not yet.
Two weeks from tomorrow.
I know, that's exciting.
Start laying out your clothes.
Yeah, my wife will lay them out for me.
There you go.
I don't know how anybody could think that they're being too not critical. We all expected this, right? I mean, if you think about it, we're going to start off probably 1-6, 1-7 if you look at the schedule.
I don't think a lot of people expect. There were a lot of people who were saying they'd win 6-7 games. You start out 1-6.
Well, hold on.
You're probably not.
Well, hold on. That's not true, though, because now I'm going to agree that he may be able to do what the other guys did, because you look at the rest of the schedule, they should be able to win 7 of those last 9 games.
What?
Right? Look at the schedule. Jets, Giants, Redskins. A bunch of times.
Why do you not think the Saints? But Mike, don't you think those teams are saying the same thing about playing the Eagles?
Maybe, but they're dumpster fires that are worse, and I don't live in those cities. So go back.
All right, buddy. I don't think they're worse. The Washington football team's not worse than the Eagles. The Giants.
I think they're on equal footing.
I really do not. Roster wise, you would take the Eagles.
Oh, roster wise, or
and they're 2-2. And they have a much
production wise,
and they have a much better roster. They have much. How many people would you say
are untouchable there? Probably not as many as you think.
I would say 6 or 7. You'd probably be able to. You'd probably get 5 on the defensive side of the ball. You'd want to say. I'll take. How many would you take on the Eagles right now?
On the defensive side of the ball.
That's what I'm saying. 5 of their starters.
Untouchable.
Maybe 6.
Yeah.
So it's a distinctly better
team.
But
I don't think they're going to be like a winning team.
No, I didn't say that. They're better than the Eagles, is all I said.
But I think the Eagles could still be 7-10. I don't think Washington is that much better than that.
Bob just hit his knee. That was that noise. He heard. Hey, Staples Connect is a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or at staplesconnect.com. Pull up the Washington depth chart right now, Jamie. Do that little exercise. We're going to play Name That Flyer, by the way, at 7:30.
Oh.
So you got to be listening. Name That Flyer at 7:30. It's your clue number one. And, Coach, we are not going to give out the name of the flyer that's on the autographed jersey.
Well, you
have
to
do that.
You're going to give out clues to who it is.
You got clues.
Yeah.
So it's doing that.
So the clues are going to be whose jersey you're going
to
win.
There you go. You don't have to do any math today.
All right. So this comes together?
Yes.
So on offense.
No, defense. I want their defense.
Oh, because on offense, it's basically only Terry McLaurin.
No, yeah. I understand. I'm talking defense.
Chase Young obviously is untouchable.
What Eagle could supplant a Washington football team starter on the defensive side of the ball?
Darius Slay would start there. I think Rodney McLeod would probably start there. Nobody on the defensive line, really. Maybe
nobody.
Fletcher Cox probably would start. I mean, we can't be. I mean, Javon Hargrave is one of the best defensive linemen in football now.
Yeah. I'm giving you Javon Hargrave. I'll give you Rodney McLeod, maybe, and I'll give you Big Play Slay.
Yeah, he would start.
That's it. There's 11 guys on the defensive side of the ball. They have 7 distinct better ones. 7 minimum.
Yeah, like untouchable wise.
I'm not saying they're better. They're better than.
I think they're on equal footing. To be honest with you.
Wow. I can't look at that depth chart and say I'd kill for that depth chart right now.
I mean.
You know. Think of what you'd do with your draft picks this year if you had the Washington defense.
Eh.
Wow. Pat, are you not a believer in that?
I like some of their players, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think they're that good of a team.
They're not a good team, but I do like some of their players. They might be just in the wrong scheme.
Could be.
You know,
Which is shocking with Ron Rivera.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Ron Rivera came in with a lot of hype. It's kind of the exact opposite of Nick Sirianni. and they had the same result.
Well, they won a division title.
They did.
That division title.
They did, but this year it's
terrible
been,
division.
It's been bad.
They were better coming into this season than they had been.
By the way, playing
this season.
I think they were 2-4 last year, and then they won the division, but it was a crappy
That sounds
division.
About right.
I think they started out really, really badly. In Cooney's Corner, Bob and I were just talking about this one.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
So, in the words of Jonathan Gannon, Fletcher Cox is playing well. The Eagles don't believe in using dime packages. Oh my God, please tell me you're just toying with us and kidding and you're really not telling your players. He said yesterday he doesn't believe in dime packages with this group. You had linebackers covering wide receivers the other day. You didn't go to a six defensive back because you don't have it. What? What? Dime packages is something we've heard about since we were little kids that teams in the NFL run.
Yeah.
And he says he doesn't have it.
He doesn't
want to
get it with this personnel.
But Kayvon Wallace and Marcus Epps have both started at points this year. Why can't you work them in with Rodney McLeod and Anthony Harris?
I don't know. Why can't you go to six defensive backs? Why are you having linebackers covering wide receivers? Why am I watching Tyreek Hill do spin arounds on on a safety that he shouldn't be doing that to? What? I'm saying your boy Jonathan Harris yesterday.
Gannon.
Not Anthony Harris.
He's another one
spinning around.
My head was spinning when I was listening to him.
He looked lost up there.
He did.
and he went third person.
Third person is never a good idea.
Look, my first inclination on Jonathan Gannon was to give him the benefit of the doubt because let's look at what they have. And we've talked about it endlessly. The linebackers, the safeties, the lack of play from the defensive front, the injury to Brandon Graham. But then yesterday, my needle really started shifting more towards, is he doing the right things? Because it doesn't matter if Bob Cooney doubts him or if anybody else around here doubts him. Yesterday, I got a tinge, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong.
He doubted himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I started thinking, that, oh my God, it doesn't matter what I think. He's starting to doubt himself a
That's
little
what
bit.
It looked like.
And maybe he's doubting the players that he has.
Probably.
He can't do anything with what he has. But man, it's four games. And to say you don't do a package because you don't have the personnel. I'm sorry. Anything's better than having a linebacker covering a wide receiver on more than a few plays.
I love watching body language, but I also love Nick Sirianni has his tell. Right? 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 Looking for that constant affirmation.
You didn't mention the Flyers hat yet.
Oh, I know. I saw it.
All right.
Coach Curtin, you're missing out.
He's flyered up.
He hasn't put out the Philadelphia Union stuff yet.
Oh, maybe he'll be duped up.
Maybe the Union time, need to send him a package. You know,
I've grown tired of the pandering and just
right.
Hey, I had this for breakfast. Right. Right?
Did you? I don't know. Are you asking me?
Yeah, right? Right? He's constant affirmation. Coach, do what you believe in.
Do I look good in these jeans? Right? Right? I hope.
Do I look big in these? Just a scooch. What was that? The Abraham Lincoln Honest Abe. It scared me too, Bob. Scared me too, Bobby.
It wasn't inspiring. No, but the needle was, all right, lack of talent, bad coaching. I don't want to say bad coaching. I'll say questionable coaching. And the needle
you
started.
You could say bad the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, the needle started going towards, wow, what is this guy up to? So keep an eye on that.
We're having fun.
You got to win the coaching matchups. That's how you're going to win on Sundays. How confident are you that it's going to be in the coming weeks? We'll get to that coming up. Hang out with us plus Flyer trivia, I guess. Coming your way at the bottom of the hour, your chance to win a fabulous prize. Flyer hockey right here on The Fanatic coming up. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. With pro football and college football absolutely dominating your weekends now, the Park Sportsbook app is the one that you've got to download. And if you're a new customer, there's never been a better time to do it because you can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. So what are you thinking about this weekend? Are you looking at the Eagles as a tasty road underdog? that maybe they're ready to pull the big upset. If you think they're going to win the game, bet the money line, cash in even more. The live in-game wagering is your way that you don't have to bet on the Eagles to win, but you can bet on individual players to show out. Maybe you're going over on Jalen Hurts passing yardage. Maybe you're going over on Devontae Smith receiving yards, or going under on the idea that they're never going to run the ball with Miles Sanders. A risk-free bet will be refunded in site credit up to $500. You download the app or you click partscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hopefully you're having a great morning. I understand. Coach is very keyed up about the Flyers clue.
We got a Flyers clue.
I'm resetting here to the Flyers clue.
This is where we give the player's name out, right?
Yes. No.
Oh, we wait until that. Okay.
We got a Flyers clue.
Adam Oates.
Paul Coffey, way too late in his career.
The jerseys may have been in the closet for a while. So let's...
God, this music's good.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, what's the first Flyers clue?
Coach, we're throwing this to you.
It's on your show sheet.
No,
I'm wanting you to do it. You're the one who wants to do it.
Every second counts.
You're into this. I thought you were going to say it.
People are tuning out, you nerd.
Do you understand
how this
game works?
No, I'm saying, do you? I thought you wanted to do it.
Look,
our perfect show just ended.
It's like the Flyers season last year.
You've been psyched up for this all day.
I'm just going to say who it is.
No, you're not.
No. So at 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30, we're going to give a clue to name that Flyer. And then at 9:45, we'll ask you who the Flyer is.
Correct.
And you're going to win an autographed jersey from that Flyer.
Roman Čechmánek.
So it's not Roman Čechmánek.
Garth Snow.
7:30... First
nerd.
Flyers clue is this Flyer was drafted in 2015.
Oh, a youngin. Great year it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2015. It wasn't a bad draft either.
Yeah.
Well, that year they took...
Bob, stop.
What's Nolan his jersey Patrick? Number?
Stop it. everybody obsessing... I know it's a big story. The local news yesterday was obsessing on showing you the pictures of Ben Simmons' penthouse.
It's a nice apartment.
Really nice apartment.
Looking right at William Penn.
Yeah, how about that?
Really nice apartment.
3.1 mil.
Not bad.
Those walls have some stories.
Okay, one parking space.
Two, I thought.
Two.
I thought it said one.
Two and parking. Valet.
Yeah.
And valet.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Swimming pool, gym. That's things you can do.
Sounds like a pretty good deal.
Bought it for 2.5 or 2.6.
What's he trying to sell it for?
3.1 and change.
A little profit.
You think he's going to get it?
I don't know. I gotta go look at it.
Well, now that you just bought a house, you're out.
No, it's Ben Simmons' place.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
I mean, I can't. No, I can't.
I don't think Ben Simmons was aware you bought a house.
He's got two to sell.
He's selling the jersey one, too?
More
I mean, I would think.
I'm not paying those taxes.
Yeah. He's got two houses in the area?
Yeah, one's a condo.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it's that they don't have to go home. You're out doing something. You go to
Center
dinner,
City,
go to clubs, whatever, and then you just go to your place.
That's what I'm saying. Those walls have seen some things.
You always want to have
some fun stuff.
Have that.
Adult stuff.
Hey, watch the game with some friends this week, and be sure to grab Primo Hoagies. Score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. Order online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo.
I had Primos yesterday.
What'd you have?
I went with the Bada Bing, and I got my buddy who was helping me do some work in Italian with long and sweet and hot.
Ooh.
Good time.
Not
did
bad.
You eat it all, or did you save half?
Oh,
today?
God, I ate it all. That wasn't even a question. I was starving yesterday.
Sometimes I will eat the Primo. I get the Primo size.
Yeah.
And I will eat half at one time and half at another.
You can certainly
do
that.
But I won't wait till the next day.
Oh, I love a hoagie the next day.
No, I don't mind it the next day, but it never lasts the next day. It doesn't get to the next day.
Yeah.
It won't live.
James, why did you have to get Primo again? Didn't you have lunch plans?
Hungry.
Oh, because somebody came up with a convenient excuse that their basement flooded and couldn't buy us burritos.
I don't know if I've ever met somebody that has so many house issues.
Yesterday wasn't the day we were doing
lunch.
Yes,
it was.
No, it wasn't.
What are you talking about?
All of a sudden in our meeting, you decided, you coward decided, I don't want to buy these guys burritos. So you made up an excuse that basically your house was the third row of the Titanic. And it was underwater and everybody was drowning. And you left.
My
you
kids left. Were wearing fins on their feet, Pat. Okay? I think swimmies. I needed to get home.
Donna was like floating on a door.
She was, yeah, and she was saying, I'm never going to let you go, Bobby. Bob.
She pushed me away when I came home.
Still awesome. We don't forget, Bob.
By the way, Tazzo rocks. Christina can put you in touch with Tazzo. Tazzo hung everything on the walls yesterday.
Yeah, those master flags look good.
He was a machine. The guy's a machine. And he came in, had everything perfectly measured. Guy was awesome. Absolutely awesome. If you know Tazzo, you know you're getting quality.
Tazzo all rocks. Tell
you. Tazzo was
bangs. Funny.
You said something different about what Tazzo does.
Well, I just said he banged at first, but then when you said how much
he was
paying him, I said
he banged the nails in the wall.
He was doing good.
Exactly.
Hey, can we all agree that Nick Sirianni won the coaching matchup week one versus Arthur Smith?
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't win the coaching matchup any of the last 3 weeks. Clearly. Especially the last two. Now, Matt Rhule, Bruce Arians, John Gruden. That's the trifecta ahead. Honestly, I think this is more of a concern, though, for Jonathan Gannon. And Jonathan Gannon's taken a lot of beating today. But Jonathan Gannon has to go up against Joe Brady. He's got to go up against Bruce Arians, and he's got to go up against John Gruden. Now, Arians and Gruden are old school but long-term NFL offensive minds. And Joe Brady is the wunderkind. So Brady will be ready for Gannon this weekend. Honestly, Jonathan Gannon's at 1-3, and he's seeing an avalanche of preparation coming his way. Those aren't favorable matchups at all with those three offensive minds going up against it. So enough about Nick Sirianni matching up. I don't know what Jonathan Gannon does with those three. And Joe Brady's the most creative of those three. And that includes Arians and Gruden. He is the most creative. He's the most innovative. Let's put it that way, innovative. You know what to expect of a John Gruden offense. You know what to expect of a Bruce Arians
Spider
offense.
Spider 2, Y banana.
Very good. You did a good job with that. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I've never tried it before.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it was pretty
Thanks.
Good.
Yeah.
I like your goat better. But
pretty good, yes.
But
Jonathan Gannon at 1-3, those three matchups coming up the next 3 weeks, none of them are favorable.
We used to do a thing at the Daily News when the Eagles were about to play somebody, you'd run a list down and you give the check mark to who has the advantage. Okay? If we go offensive, whoever the opposition is, and you have the Eagles on one side, offensive coordinator versus Jonathan Gannon. I mean, I think pretty much they're gonna win the check.
Right now, yes.
I don't know that Jonathan Gannon's winning any check mark. If you put a defensive coordinator up against Jonathan Gannon and you try to figure out who gets the check, it's probably going to go to the other side all the time. He's got that hill to climb right now. And, you know, consecutive weeks of 40-plus points. I still think that Kansas City just toyed. I really think they looked at that as, all right, let's get ourselves righted. Let's practice this. Let's practice that. I really don't. I do. I think Kansas City could have done anything they wanted offensively.
So you think they let a game be a one-score game into the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, they let it be that way just to toy with stuff? I think it's crazy.
I think it's crazy.
Dog.
I shouldn't say toy. I think they know they could have done anything they wanted offensively.
One turnover changes that game. One stupid mistake changes that game. It was a five-point game, and if they get off the field on that 3rd-and-6 with the sack, where Rodney McLeod was offside.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting the ball back. They're taking the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to drive down and take the lead. And they move the ball all day on Kansas City. I think it's like I've heard it said over and over. I know Anthony's believing it. There's no chance they could have won that game. I think it's crazy talk.
I thought Kansas City was practicing their pacing.
Yeah, I think that was telling. Go ahead.
They were definitely patient.
Yeah, I think because Charles Davis, and for those that don't know, I've had the privilege of sitting in on some of these meetings. The coaches reveal a lot of the game plan.
Take us more in there.
So Friday or Saturday, your announcers, you know, I was working for Sunday Night Football, so it would be Al, Chris, the producer, the director, Michelle, couple other hands that would sit down with the coaches.
And what are you doing in that?
Like, I only got to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, no,
once.
But still, though.
Yeah, it was cool. But they walk you through the game plan and where their matchup. Like, it's kind of shocking how much they reveal to the television crew. It shocked me, honestly. And then in game, Fred Godelli's the producer of Sunday Night Football. He's I think the best in live sports. He would be like, hey, look out for, it's 3rd and 6. Look out for, Bill said they're going to do this here. So be on alert for this type of play, a goal line situation. Hey, Bill said they really see an advantage here on this matchup. I'm just bringing up Belichick because we did a lot of Patriot games. And it would be right, like a lot of the time. So when Charles Davis and Ian Eagle were saying, yeah, Kansas City's really been working on their pacing. They want to slow things down at times. Once I heard that, I kind of went, they're kind of practicing their pacing against the Eagles because they were doing 7-minute drives, 7-minute 30 drives. Like, they were taking their time a little bit and kind of like playing like a cat does with a dead mouse. Like, just kind of.
I don't think the plays were there.
I just thought they never felt like they were going to be in jeopardy of winning that game. I think the Eagles did a good job.
Like, I mean, I think the Eagles' game plan was perfect if you wanted them to go 11, 12 plays.
But I also
they
thought,
made them do that.
I thought Kansas City was just kind of like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They scored on 6 or 7 possessions.
Yeah. Like, their plan was perfect that they only allowed them 42 points. Like, you know what I mean? I think it was as much Kansas City's doing as it was the Eagles playing prevent. I mean, there's no chance that at one time Andy couldn't have drawn up, let's go Tyreek Hill and what's his name? Hardman?
Mecole Hardman.
Mecole Hardman, which yeah. Somehow that was hard for the
Let's have them just both run in towards safeties and then break off with their speed and see where the safety goes. And Patrick, wherever he doesn't go, throw it that way. They could have had a bomb whenever they wanted. I really believe. And when they said it on the telecast, I did think of you, too. Oh, that was said this weekend.
Yeah, like that was Andy Reid brought that up to the TV guys.
Yeah.
As something that they were going to work on this week, knowing I think they had a supreme confidence that they were going to win that game. But what you said about Gannon, like after the first 2 weeks, granted it was much less superior quarterbacks, we were going, oh, wow, they haven't let up a play over 20 yards. Oh, right. Wow, they've. So he's got time to figure this out still. Like, I don't know if it's an every week thing. I think it's going to depend on the quarterback you're playing.
He's not going to have a.
And Sam Darnold's a lot better than he had been. But again, that was the Jets.
This is going to get a lot more. This is going to become a pressure cooker, though, if they have another crappy couple
sure.
weeks of efforts.
But Derek Carr doesn't frighten me. I don't think he's that good. I don't think John Gruden's. I've been on the record. I think John Gruden's the most overrated coach in like NFL history.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Most overrated in NFL history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that might be hot, but he's up
well, like,
there.
Who, I mean, can you think of another overrated coach?
I guess I just never think of
Buddy
guys.
Buddy Ryan.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Buddy Ryan's up there, yeah.
Buddy Ryan is.
Sure. But like, Buddy Ryan is local. Nationally, they don't bring up Buddy Ryan as much as we do here. Nationally, they act like Gruden is this genius because he can count backwards by 3, and he says things like spider 2Y banana. The guy can't.
Do you know what spider 2Y banana is?
I think he just throws out fruit and animals, and we just go, "Oh my god, he's a genius!" Like he can't draft at all.
I personally like the grapefruit grizzly bear routes.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
How many
good.
Wins over 500 do you think he is in the NFL
for his career?
Yeah,
7
minimal.
7.
I'll go 10.
Over? Ooh, no, I'd actually go. He's under.
Okay, he's 114 and 110.
Wow, 4.
Yeah, I was guessing around that.
Oh, I didn't think it was very high.
That was after the 2019 season, too. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
I got to play.
Man, that's not good. Then you're in real
trouble. He might only be 2 or 3 over.
Not too much fun.
See what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, he took over Dungy's squad.
Well, he gets a lot of hype.
Yeah,
he took over Dungy's squad. Football coach.
And then he drove it into the ground.
Yeah, and his draft history?
It's horrible.
Woof.
He could have drafted Aaron Rodgers. He took Cadillac Williams. He told Aaron Rodgers he was going
to
draft him.
I would like to say, though, he took the same exact guys that Tony Dungy didn't win with, and I love sure. Coach Dungy, and won a championship
sure.
with them.
He gets credit for that.
He was also facing...
And Tony Dungy, I don't hear anybody calling overrated, are they?
No.
He couldn't get it done.
Slightly, right?
There's a difference.
Done.
Gruden got it done against his old coach, who literally didn't change one
was
game
it Callahan?
Plan.
Once,
yeah, Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan.
Didn't change any play whatsoever, and right. Barrett Robbins went MIA in
Tijuana,
Mexico.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, PJ's happy hour tomorrow. You don't have to go to Tijuana. Just come over to Cherry Hill and join us at PJ's for happy hour.
It's
5
the
to
Tijuana
7
of New Jersey, a lot
it
of people
is?
Say.
It is. It's a much classier
yeah.
Tijuana.
Yeah.
It is. In the linchpin... After all the hype and after all the talk, seems like they blew it.
This is the linchpin.
Can we all just take a collective minute to laugh our asses off at clutch management? You've misplayed this so poorly.
I said it all along.
But my point was always both sides lose. Like, there's no winners in this situation. Everybody's going to lose. Ben Simmons is going to end up in Cleveland, Minnesota, or Sacramento, and maybe he's happy after what came out yesterday. One of the excuses they trotted out yesterday was basically that the Sixers were too good, and it stunted Ben's growth.
What?
What the hell are you talking about? But the best part, and the part Daryl Morey is a savvy mind in the front office. Elton Brand, you know, is probably learning a ton from Daryl Morey and his knowledge of, I'm sure, the CBA and every contract and every situation.
Okay, give it to me.
Clutch management thought, and this was a thought I read last week, that if Ben Simmons was traded, the team that traded for him could pay him back his fines that he incurred while with Philadelphia. And it wouldn't count against their cap, and it would basically be like, here's your money back. Well, clutch management called the NBA league offices and the Players Association yesterday to inquire about this. And oh no, they're wrong.
So they didn't read the CBA, which I don't understand.
Well enough. You would think a power company as big as them would have some underlings go through that with a fine-tooth comb. So now Ben Simmons is facing the reality of, oh, I'm actually going to lose a lot of money here. And if you're the Sixers, they just gave you hand back. Not that you want him in the building anymore, because I think the players are done with him, because he turned their back on them. But if you're Daryl Morey and Elton Brand, you can really squeeze them by the short ones on this. And I think the league will have your back on it.
They will.
Because Rich Paul's becoming a problem. Like, this was a calculated plan by them to sign your rookie Supermax extension and then ask out. You can't convince me.
And cause a debacle.
And the NBA wants them to fail at this. And Daryl Morey and Elton Brand might be the executioners. And I love it.
It's funny because I do have a lot of people that ask me, why doesn't the NBA get involved in this? And I just looked at it and said, why would they?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the NBA and you're watching this play out, you're just saying, okay, good. Spoiled rich guys that sign huge, and I don't mean rich guys, but spoiled guys that sign huge contracts and don't, you know, go to work when they've signed said contract.
With 4 years remaining?
Yeah. If they want to get burned, I'll let that happen. Yeah, I can just see Adam Silver sitting back and saying, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, because when Rich Paul did it with Anthony Davis, he only had 2 years remaining on his deal and extension talks.
And that looked
bad.
It looked
terrible. Now there's 4 years left and they're trying to pull this crap.
I can't understand. I honestly know, and I'm looking here, I'll look right into the YouTube camera and just put my hands in the air. This was always going to end this way. They were always going to look like a-holes, and this was going to be handled poorly.
Well, yeah,
I never saw all this. Well, Clutch is so savvy. Clutch is so smart. They're going to win this thing. They're going to do this. They're going to get their way. No.
Well, they're going to get Ben out of Philadelphia.
They're looking like idiots.
Yes,
though.
They will.
They've damaged their brand by the way they've handled this. They have damaged. They're being, even their mouthpieces are criticizing them on TV.
Sure, but I don't think it's going to prevent a All-American kid coming out of Kentucky from signing with them. You know what I mean? Like, they'll still be fine at the end of the day.
They had a better chance before.
Yeah, they got egg on their face. That's for damn sure. The Sixers are still losing this situation.
Pat, fire Clutch. Okay, behind the curtain. Pat hired Clutch to do his next agreement.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah,
Pat, fire them.
I was trying to make my way to Ben FM, and I'm still working on it. Those people are still working on getting me over there because they play anything they feel like.
I'll walk you down. I know where it is.
Yeah.
Fire them. They're going to screw this up for you.
So, to take people behind the curtain, we have these brainstorms that we have to do for digital where we get together, and if there's a campaign, you get together, you figure out what the campaign could be for advertising and whatnot.
Okay.
I feel like Clutch Sports is doing this with excuses on why Ben needs to get out of Philly. If you're grasping at straws of the Sixers were too good, and that's why he needs to get out. He can't play with an MVP. Like, you sit back and you go, are you guys listening to yourself? You spent how long with a marketing company, and that's the best you came up with was the Sixers were too good, and he can't play with an MVP? At this point, it's laughable.
That's pathetic.
They had no good solid plan.
And they're making Ben look awful too.
Ben's doing that.
Well, yeah, he is, but like that excuse, like I don't think that's coming out of Ben's mouth. That's some kind of spin. Well, I don't think so.
It's funny. I have a friend who was a Simmons backer and now he just kind of does it as a joke, I think. But he keeps saying to me, and I'll text me in a minute, I'll say, What has Simmons said? And it's true. He hasn't gone on record and said anything.
I think Clutch is trying to throw every excuse at the wall. And
they are. A part of me is, all right, is Clutch doing this to Simmons because they're fed up with him also? And
they're throwing him to the wolves, or are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know.
The only thing I can come up with that Ben Simmons could somewhat salvage himself would be to fire Clutch management and say, they mishandled me in this situation. I was very unhappy with it. I'm going to return and be the...
He's not welcome here.
I know that, but that's the only hope he's got.
I love the excuse, by the way, of your buddy. What has Ben Simmons said? Athletes have this ability. You have a buffer. It's called an agent. It's called a PR person. What has he said? He told his real estate agent, put my house up.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, I'll say this. Do you think Ben Simmons is being treated poorly by Clutch management?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then why hasn't he come out and said anything?
Like, because that's the weird, because he started this whole thing.
If somebody's doing me wrong, I'm fighting for it. Look, it doesn't matter if you're public, you know, do we need to hear something? Does Ben Simmons need to talk to us? No. But I find it real hard as a guy, and somebody's very much doing me wrong, not to come out swinging.
Right.
He doesn't know any better.
And you could possibly
He doesn't
be
know
totally
any better,
right.
And he thinks, and they're probably telling him, it'll work.
Oh, no, they told him this would work.
Exactly. So
they convinced him this would, I guarantee you they convinced him it would work, because they had their mouthpieces, their minions out there doing it. So, spreading these words. Remember, there was a very cocky narrative to this when it started, and now they're in backtrack mode. Even Brian Windhorst, they made him take the stairs for 2 weeks at ESPN. Because of how badly he's handled this.
How's he hanging?
Supposedly not good.
Yeah, they're really
pitting out.
Yeah.
Right at the first landing.
An Italian hoagie stench coming from there. They're not looking good in this clutch.
No, not at all.
Honestly, I swear to you, this is the least surprising story of 2021, that this was going to backfire on them and they were going to look like idiots.
I hope the Sixers wait for Portland to suck and go get Dame. I'm not killing the dream yet.
You know what you need to do? You need to study their early season schedule and see if you can see that.
Yeah, it's not a bad note for tomorrow.
Let's do that. To look into that. Remember, join us tomorrow, PJ Willihan's in Cherry Hill from 5 to 7 p.m. Meet us, enjoy happy hour specials, PJ's wings, and more. Those wings.
I think about them all the time.
That is just...
think about them all the time.
Now, do you do the naked or do you do naked wings?
I do both.
I like the naked.
He's got a baby coming in any minute, and he goes, I think about their wings all the time.
Okay, you're 5 days out of the baby being born.
According to you, yes. From the door
due
date.
Are you starting to go, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little eerie.
Could this happen?
Yeah.
If Sunday, during the Eagles game.
If I'm bolting out of here during
postgame.
At some
point, you're in the mix of like, no, I didn't even see you at postgame.
No.
In my
Sunday
vision.
Morning, huh?
So something is, but the baby is born on the 11th.
All right, 10-11? That's 10-11. An easy one to remember.
10-11. That's what I'm saying. Just telling you.
Any day now.
All right. This formula is not working, and we're not talking about baby formula. It's got to be shaken up. We'll get to it next. Second half of the John Kincaid Show comes your way next here on The Fanatic.
Conference Pride, it's on the line this Saturday, and you control the point spread on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel is moving the line 1 point in Penn State's favor for every 500 fans who bet them to cover against Iowa. It's all part of the Spread the Love promotion. The more bets, the better the spread. A few weeks ago when Michigan fans spread the love until they got a sure thing of a 69 and a half points, Penn State fans, can you top that? And best of all, your odds are whatever the point spread is at kickoff. You don't have to wait to get in on the action. Plus, FanDuel is super easy to use. If Penn State covers, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Well, sign up today with promo code Bob. Also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code Bob exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50. Payout at -110. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh my gosh! Can you put...
I was right.
Hang time.
They like tried to make it surfing.
Yeah.
Man, this sounds awesome.
It was bad, but I watched it.
So they had like the same Grant Tinker, I think, told them Saved by the Bell's hot. Yeah. Now we need Saved by the Bell on basketball, Saved by the Bell with a bunch of kids and a music group. There was a music group show.
Yeah, I remember the one you're talking about.
And then they did another one.
Saved by the Bell of college years. I mean, they milked that thing for all it was worth. They tried a new generation at Saved by the Bell, too. And well, now Saved by the Bell's back on Peacock.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does well, too.
It does well?
Yeah.
Is it their kids?
Somebody's a teacher at the school?
Yeah, A.C. Slater's the gym teacher. Mark Paul Gosselaar, I think,
isn't
is
he like
a
the senator or something?
Yeah, his kid goes there.
Okay, I saw the promo for this because Mario does one of the afternoon shows, like Extra or something like that.
Extra?
And he had on Mark Paul Gosselaar. And they were talking about, like,
Preppy?
This show.
He had on Preppy? That's a reference to the show. That's what he called him in the show.
Come on,
John.
I didn't watch Saved by the Bell.
Sorry.
Saved by the Bell was awesome. How dare you?
No, the numbers on Saved by the Bell are very impressive.
Saved by the Bell taught me that caffeine pills are nothing to mess with.
But that's where I didn't get... I thought she had done coke or something.
No.
She was
and
so
then you
excited.
Said it was caffeine pills.
Well, I think that was the picture.
Originally, it was supposed to be coke.
I was going to say, wait, because every time I've seen that... It's Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
But she was the nerd in the show. She couldn't jump right into coke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to start with the gateway.
She wasn't even smoking weed. Like
she became a stripper a couple years later.
That's a good point.
What happened to the brunette that went on to 90210?
Kelly Kapowski.
Oh god,
she went on to 90210.
Yeah,
she's my first gorgeous. Love.
You love her?
I think she's relegated to like Hallmark Channel now.
Vanessa Marcel went on to 90210. And sent the subliminal message to me.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, by the way.
Yeah.
Her name was Kincaid on the show.
Panthers.
Gina Kincaid. Listen to Bob.
Oh, God, Bob, just go away.
It's unbelievable. Now, you hear something you want going away.
Anytime.
You remember what October baseball... You remember what October baseball felt like?
No.
It's been a while.
A long while.
A decade ago was a very fateful time in the franchise history of the Phillies here. That 2011 team. Just quickly from every one of you. Best Phillies team of the run?
Yes.
I guess.
Better than 2008.
I know, but like Ryan Howard and Chase and those guys weren't as good.
They won 102 games. They were the best.
I know, they're the best. Yeah, okay. Fine, I'm not going to fight.
People have argued that they're the best team. The way that season ended, though, with Ryan Howard lying in a crumpled pile at home plate.
I was there on the third baseline. I'll never forget it.
Was absolutely, to me, heartbreaking. It was a black cat moment, now that you look back on the franchise, and they can't seem to shake it off. You can't snap your fingers and fast forward to a run like you had from 2007 to 2011 that was just exceptional. So what do you do? I think there are only two options for this long, cold winter ahead. You can try to move critical pieces. I mean, some of your bigger name guys. I'm not talking Harper, but bigger name guys, and remake the DNA of this roster, which I think is flawed. I don't think there's a sense of urgency, and I don't think it's a winning mix. Or you can go against Bryce Harper's advice and use free agency to go out there and inject talent into this roster. There's money coming off the books, but... there's all the money you got to spend. So which is it, boys? And if you have a third option, I'd love to hear what it is, because a tweak isn't going to keep you in nosebleed distance of the Braves. This was the year you had the chance to jump the Braves, and you didn't do it when everything went against them. Is there which option do you want? Do you want the be aggressive, sell off Aaron Nola? Maybe sell a JT Realmuto? Start redoing the minor league system, which is what Bryce Harper says you need to do. Or do you say, no, we're going to roll this back and keep these guys and we're going to go out and spend in free agency, which is what Bryce Harper tells you not to do.
I'm not selling Aaron Nola and the likes of the guys you said to shore up my farm system. I don't think farm system has to come with draft picks. I mean, it rarely works out for the Phillies that you trade and you bring in guys that you're going to grow. They don't grow guys well.
You can't trade for a draft pick in baseball, I don't think.
So, yeah, I'm not doing prospect stuff.
You can acquire a draft pick if a guy is if he's a free agent.
Right, if he's a free agent.
Dubbed as much and he signs with another team.
All right, so I'm getting rid of the Dreck, which is left field, center field, shortstop, and I'm buying. Look, you might have four pretty good pitchers next year to start your staff. You may have a closer that you can stick with for another year. You hope you have an MVP type player. You hope that this was an anomaly for JT Realmuto, that he really is a pretty decent player. I fill the pieces around. That's what I would do.
They don't have many options. They have to go over the luxury tax for the first time in the organization's history if they want to try and compete for the division. Because well, I don't.
Or you can dump salary. And then, well, yeah, and that then can acquire
be,
players.
Yeah, that can be part
so
of it.
You don't have to go
they
over the salary
a, They
tax.
Need a change. But they're most likely going to have to at least come closer, contemplate going over it, because they're between a rock and a hard place. The minor league system under Dombrowski hasn't been changed nearly enough. I mean, that's
well, just started with him.
Yeah, that's a 4 or 5 year process. Unfortunately, Klentak wet the bed on that one. So now you're kind of stuck. You have to spend.
Where are you going, Pat?
They do have to spend. I don't think they need to spend at all the positions that they have holes for. So, like, for example, you need two outfielders. Buy one, but let one of the younger guys come in and just get his feet wet and sink or swim. You know, they tried that this past year. Didn't really work, but they have younger outfielders in the system that they could plug in there. A shortstop is tough because he's owed so much money. I'd like to move on from him too, but
only $14 million. You can bench him.
For me, it's really the pitching. It's getting Aaron Nola right, because you can't go into next year. You're not going to win anything.
You're trusting him
with bullpen games, your fifth starter, and Aaron Nola pitching the way he
can't
did.
Do it.
Well, hey, Ranger Suarez is at least a huge bright spot.
Yeah, and Zach Eflin will be back.
Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We get news out of the NFL today. Stephon Gilmore is being released by the Patriots. Stephon Gilmore, the name is going to have, like, yesterday, Jalen Smith is being released. And everyone's like, oh, Eagles Twitter, which it's just like, yo, you got to get Jalen Smith.
This
you got to go do it. Got to go do it. Got to go get
ever.
Him. And I texted a trusted NFL insider, and he sent me four skull and crossbones. That was his only response.
I talked to somebody that's a Cowboys fan, and they were like, oh, yeah, he's cooked. And I was like,
yeah,
okay.
But there's something. I think there's something else.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He's owed a lot of money.
I mean, it is a lot of money that they're getting rid of. That was a horrible injury he sustained. It's a shame. That kid was a
stud in college.
It was four skull and crossbones, so I don't know if that. But just that means I think that means danger.
Yeah,
like stay away.
Yeah, and but Gilmore, if I had to bet money, will be in Kansas City or Tampa Bay by the end of the week. He's still going to get paid. He can come off in 2 weeks of the pup list. Apparently, it was financial up there.
He goes and plays with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
and helps their secondary.
He'll go chase a ring now.
There you go. Hey, if you're watching, why do Patriots players have to chase rings? If you're watching the games with some friends this week, go score some Primo Hoagies. Do it in style. Order online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. And if you do work for Jamie Lynch, he'll bring you a Primo. He will actually bring you a Primo. I did not bring a Primo for Tazo yesterday. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known what to order.
Well, this
Tazo.
Isn't an official, like, it's my buddy that's incredibly handy, so.
It wasn't a work date.
I just pay him, yeah.
It wasn't any kind of work date.
I was going to Primo's. I wasn't going to come home with a hoagie and eat it in his face.
No.
Say, what do you want?
Did you get chips, too?
I had chips at home.
You had chips at home? What kind of chips?
The crinkle cut sea salt Cape Cod Johns.
Ooh, those are good.
They are delicious.
Don't put hair
on
anything.
Jamie,
the crinkle waffle cut ones. They're top of the game.
He gets orgasmic over food.
Top three
it
chip.
Is. It's incredible.
Top Here, three chip.
The love he has for food.
I hope he has as much love for this next baby coming as he has for his food.
Well, we'll be down in the city, so I get to go back to some of my favorite spots. So I'll get food at the house and bring it to the hospital.
Will you?
Like, that's what you're thinking of about this.
She's not going to be out for eating all that foodie stuff, is she?
No, but like an Italian hoagie, she hasn't had, you know, a lot of cured meat, so.
You're going to bring that into the room and smell up the whole hospital?
Damn right I am. I'm going to Cosme's Deli and getting myself an Italian.
Are you sleeping at the hospital?
One night.
The
second night I'll probably go home and try and get a little shut eye.
Oh yeah, I never slept at the hospital in my kids.
It's awful. They do those couches
They're
are
terrible.
Brutal.
Neither did I.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
I mean, what can you really do? You just
Well, Pat, they could have pulled a drawer open.
They did.
And really, and put the baby in one and
like
you in
the
other.
Like the Seinfeld episode.
Jack in the one, you in the other. They could have taken the sock drawer for Jack and given him a nice spot.
Wow,
there.
Pat, dude, I got
to save money. That's exactly what we did. I wasn't full time yet. I couldn't afford the futon.
Nice armoire.
Beers with Bob, pre-baby edition. Bob, you're not having a baby in your house, but it's
not
live tonight,
Jamie,
right?
Comes over to visit.
It's live tonight, right?
Yeah, 6 to 7. We're down at Live Casino and Hotel down in South Philadelphia. Andrew and I, we'll be there around 5 o'clock. So if you want to stop by, come on down and say hi, and we'll have a fun time. We always do down there.
I like it that the gentleman says today that Jamie has talked about the baby coming 3 times. Every time the story has turned to food. Every time he says the story turns to something about food.
With a baby comes great food, right? Isn't that something to say?
Little, yeah, sure. Little Primo Lynch coming next week. Go to the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. It has been a firestorm week here in Philadelphia for Jonathan Gannon, Adam Schefter. I hitched my wagon early to Jonathan, and the bromance is officially on hold. I'm not dumping him, but I'm sort of ghosting him this week. Haven't DM'd him. I'm just ghosting him a little bit. I want to see improvement. What's the word on Gannon?
Well, Eric, you, John, you love these guys.
Who's Eric?
John, you love these guys. John, you were telling me how great the staff was. I was. Eric, your boss, was in my head because I was texting with him before. But didn't you tell me how much you love the staff, John?
I did.
Love these guys.
I really did.
They brought the intelligence. Listen, and I had a lot of faith. I put New York Food behind them. So there we go. And they're failing me and helping you, but they're failing you. And there's a lot of ways to look at this.
Yep.
I think Jonathan Gannon is a guy that has an excellent reputation around the league. He's a guy that I think is going to be a head coach at some point, and there are going to be some bumps and learning curves along the way. And obviously, people in Philly not happy right now. but it'll work out.
You got a lot more confidence than I do.
Yeah, you got two cornerbacks, a position that, I'm sorry, you have a linebacker and a cornerback now with Gilmore, and Jones being released recently. Shefty, do you know anything about what happened with Jones in Dallas? Was it something more than the injury? Smith, I'm sorry, we're saying Jones. With Smith in Dallas, do you know anything more that it was than the injury, Jalen Smith?
Yeah. Well, we got a couple of big moves that were made in the NFL within the last 12 or so hours. You have the Cowboys releasing Jalen Smith, the former Pro Bowl linebacker, last night. And then this morning, the New England Patriots releasing Stephon Gilmore, the former Defensive Player of the Year. And so, two big moves. And I think both have enormous financial implications. The Dallas Cowboys really, I don't think, were willing to put themselves out there when Jalen Smith was due $7.2 million guaranteed if he got hurt for next year.
Mm-hmm.
They saw the way he was playing and didn't want to be on the hook for that at all. And so rather than put themselves at risk, they decided to release him last night. And they tried to trade him for weeks. They tried to offer to pay some of his salary to other teams. And nobody really was really interested. Nobody bit. And so they said, okay, well, not going to get anything back from him. Not going to find a team that's willing to pay. Let's just move on. And then this morning, the New England Patriots, who were about $54,000 under the salary cap, they needed to free up cap space. And so they went ahead and released the former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore, a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback, who was eligible to come off the PUP list in week 6. Two names out there that I don't think a lot of people were expecting to see. Nobody thought Dallas was moving on Jalen Smith. Nobody thought the Patriots were moving on from Stephon Gilmore. And here it is this morning that's exactly what happens.
Adam, do you now, with these two and kind of Carson Wentz being the largest dead cap number in history, do you see this as a new norm in the league now where teams are willing to incur a short-term dead cap hit to walk away from players for the long-term benefit? Because it seems like it's
increasing a lot over the last 2 or 3 years. Is this to be more expected in today's NFL?
Well, I don't know that it's more expected. It's that, you know, the cap goes up every year, and so there's more and more room. Now, there's more and more players to sign. They get larger money, of course. All those things are in play. But the fact of the matter is I think teams always have been willing to eat contracts when they need to. And it's just in this day and age maybe that there's more attention on it. 10 years ago, teams did the same thing. There were teams that had dead cap money. Maybe the numbers weren't as large. Maybe the attention wasn't as great. But this has gone on through time. And so we're seeing some big names now. You mentioned Carson Wentz from this offseason, which was a huge number to eat at that point in time. The Dallas Cowboys eating money. The New England Patriots here, they didn't really owe Stephon Gilmore anything. He's in the last year of his contract. And so it was a situation where they needed to get his money to free up cap space to sign guys like Jamie Collins and move on.
Do you know that, Adam, the quarterback who has the most on their plate that directly is handling most plays in the entire NFL is Jalen Hurts? 76% of the snaps that the Eagles have had on offense, he has either passed or rushed. That's the largest percentage in the NFL. Tom Brady, 73%. No one else in the 70s. Lamar Jackson, 66%. Aaron Rodgers, 56%. The MVP candidate in Arizona at 61%. And Jalen Hurts is being asked 76%. I consider it malpractice. I really do, that they're not running the ball more or at least putting in more set plays so they actually stay committed to the run. Because for the third consecutive week, the coach has told us we need to run the ball more. Yeah, I got to be better at that.
Well, they're not getting much of a run game. And
they're not trying it.
That is tough on the court. Yeah, no. It's they're moving the ball in different ways. It is different. It's got to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. But, I mean, I don't know what to say about it. Like, I thought for sure, like this past Sunday, coming off the week that they had, the week before against Dallas, when they never ran, like, they're going to run the ball down the Chiefs' throats. They're going to try to control the ball, control the clock all day. So much so that I played Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell on my fantasy football team. I played them both.
Oh my gosh!
Weekend, because I thought we're going to see Eagles running backs like crazy. Like we're just going to see them try to run the ball as much as they, and they didn't even do that. I was surprised. And so, you know, at some point they have to get back to that for the balance of the team, for the sanity of everybody else, for the sake of their quarterback, and they just haven't done it yet.
Shefty, I'm not.
It's weird.
I'm not this, you know, referee stink kind of guy. I'm really not. And in the NBA, I have many friends that are refs, but I know there's points of interest. And I know there's things that they look to try to do. To me, it just seems like the players don't know really how to play on what they're going to call now. Is this something that's being talked about around the league at all?
Players don't know. I'm confused about it. What do you mean?
Well, like Bosa comes out and says they don't even know what they're going to call. They don't know how. My biggest thing is when players don't know how to play the game because they don't know how it's going to be called,
Yep. The
product dips a little bit. Are you getting word about that kind of around the league?
I've not heard any of that. No, I can't say I have. I just think the game's evolving, and that's sort of how it's going. Maybe that's the direction it's gone. I have not heard any players complain about that. No, Bob.
Okay.
Hopefully it's going to get a little better with Matt Rhule and the trip to Carolina this week. And do you believe that you would, if the Eagles continue to lose, they'd look to maybe dump some players, dump some salary, pick up some more draft picks for what's going to be an important offseason?
If they continue to lose, let's say
they're 1-6.
If they're 1-6, yes, I would think that would make sense. And like I said, we've always talked about how they're aggressive, right. And they're aggressive to try to win. But I would think that they would be aggressive to try to turn it around, too. Like, they're always going to be aggressive. And if you're 1-6, what are they now? They're 1-3 right now?
They're 1-3. Carolina, big one there. Tampa Bay, Vegas on the road.
Yep.
It's not easy. It's not getting any easier.
Well, yeah, if they were 1-6, and that would bring us up to the trade deadline.
Correct.
November 2nd, November 3rd. Right around there. So it's
three games left before the deadline, right?
Yep. Fire sale.
At 1-6?
There you go.
I don't know, five, but yeah, they're sellers. Yeah, they're at 1-6. At 1-6, they're sellers, and John's laughing, and he's sitting back with his feet.
I don't want to laugh. I'm not laughing Sundays. I'm ready to eat, though. There you go, buddy.
Levine.
Yeah,
Levine cookies. Yeah, well, I'm getting hungry.
I'm hungry. Right? Adam, great job, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Adam, brought to us by Jamie.
Our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app.
Want to remind you that Safe Auto offers Pennsylvania state minimum car insurance for less than 70 cents a day. Visit SafeAuto.com or call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Play it safe. Safe Auto. The fire sale would happen then. They dump.
That was going to be my next question.
They dump anybody that they can.
Yeah, I think they will.
Which would be good. And that would be definitely needed.
Well, does anybody want to take on that money?
There is a Flyer trivia. As it gets you closer to getting that Flyers jersey.
This is where we say the guy's name, right?
No, it's not that one.
Lassie Kukkonen.
It's not. And I have my drive.
Charles Samuelson.
I have a drive around the league where I got a homework assignment for Jamie, and I'm going to give it to him. And it's going to raise his eyebrows. Sort of. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Are you looking for a way to race in the upcoming Broad Street Run? I got a great idea for you. Join the American Association for Cancer Research Runners for Research team and help the American Association for Cancer Research raise $250,000 to support life-saving cancer research. Now look, as a two-time cancer survivor, I know that when you fund cancer research with your generosity, every dollar counts. That's why they're the official charity of the show. But registration for the race weekend is now open, and the AACR is your ticket into the event. Plus, you can get some really cool race swag just for joining their team. You can run in memory of a loved one or in honor of someone in your life who's fighting cancer now. Go to runners@AACR.org. Send an email, runners@AACR.org. And if you're already registered for the race, but you want to join the Runners for Research team, you can convert your entry and set up a fundraising page. For more information, email the AACR at runners@AACR.org. That's runners@AACR.org. If running's not your thing, just make a donation at philadelphiamarathon.com/donate. Because cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks for joining the John Kincaid Show. 5 days a week with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate you being a part of things. Tell your family, tell your friends. We got to name that flyer clue for you.
Terry Crisp. What's his name?
Kyle Calder.
Tim Carr.
Rick Tocchet.
No, he's retired. He's a coach.
He doesn't play here anymore.
Simone. No, he's a broadcaster now.
He was a coach.
Yeah.
No, hockey.
This Flyer scored his first career hat trick versus the Penguins in 2021.
Ed Van Imp.
Ed Van Imp.
Boom. Give me the jersey.
Bobby Taylor.
He's a cornerback, you nerd.
No, he was a great backup goalie.
Notre Dame.
With a porn star mustache.
Cornerback with Troy Vincent.
He was the best, man. Absolutely the best. There you go. Keep listening, and there'll be one more clue. Next hour. If that clue didn't give it away, if that clue didn't just solve it.
Yeah.
That I mean, I just gave the clue to you. This Flyer scored his first career hat trick versus the Penguins in 2021. Now you, as Mike Francesa, the legend of sports radio, would say, go to the Google machine and look at it and try to figure it out. All right, it's time to do an inaugural drive around the league. For the first time.
Or is it?
It really is.
No, we just don't know.
I just have to push the right button.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got to push the right button.
Hmm.
Let me see.
Now, let's take a drive around the league with John Kincaid.
Presented by Tire Tech USA. $50 alignments, dealer quality service at a fraction of the cost.
Strap in. Here's John.
Okay. Jamie Lynch quizzed me the other day.
Oh.
Because he was looking strange at me about the fact that teams being in shotgun from the 1 yard line. Snaps snaps in 2020 season from the 1 yard line, what percentage of quarterbacks were in the shotgun?
Shotgun.
First and goal from the one.
I thought our conversation was more about just general shotgun. Yeah. From the 1 yard line.
First and goal from the one.
Shotgun, I'd put it at 22%.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
Maybe 17.
Oh, wow. No, way off.
Really?
At the one?
First and goal from the one. I'm being specific.
I'll say about 6%.
Wow, you're way off. Both of you are way off. And I was shocked by this number.
I thought it was going to be low.
Oh, no, no, no. How about like 31%?
Okay.
First and goal. What does it go to at second and goal from the one? What does 31 go to?
Probably decreases at this point, right? So I'll go with my original guess, 22?
18.
There you go, 18. I didn't want to do too much of the guessing. And it gets down to 11.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Then it gets down to 6.
For what, third and fourth?
Fourth, yes.
Fourth.
So the Nick Sirianni, and he did it on Sunday, he had Jalen Hurts under center in short yardage plays. Your short yardage play success rate. This is a good one, too, and I'm stealing this from one of the websites. This is from a piece on, I got to grab it for you here, who I stole it from. The success rate on third and three in shotgun or under center. Which is the higher percentage rate? Success.
Under center.
That was third and what?
Third and three. Higher success rate, 2020 season, complete season last year. What's more successful?
Under center, reluctantly.
I would want to say under center, but a lot of teams play shotgun.
I think shotgun is the answer.
And guess what? I was wrong. Shotgun is the answer.
Yeah.
Third and three teams were more successful by 13% conversion rate.
I think the thinking is you're not turning your back to the defense.
So it worked on third and three.
Yeah.
Third and one, fourth and one. Being under center is absolutely the way to go. Success rate more than double.
Fourth and one?
Third and one, fourth and one. Being under center, you are twice as likely to convert.
That makes sense.
So it's just some of these numbers to be able to use that. Did you see the story with last year Matt Stafford forced his way out of Detroit? He said it's time to go. I got to get out of here. Move.
Cabo suntan with McVay.
Okay. Well, now the story comes from the Washington Times that Matt Ryan is looking to have a Matthew Stafford summer. And they're best friends, by the way.
Who's he sunbathing with?
They're best of friends. Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan, their families live around 2 miles apart in suburban Atlanta. Their families hang out together. They're very, very tight. Matt Ryan, so the story comes out that Matt Ryan wants to force his way out of Atlanta and be the new Matt Stafford next year. Matt Ryan's wife, Sarah, ex-college athlete at Boston College and executive with the Atlanta Dream, the NBA team, she says, tweets at the Washington Times and the reporter, and I think your source is full of sheesh. And she didn't spell it incorrectly.
Wow.
I don't give a completely false. And then Matt, who never addresses these things, came out and said, completely false. Mm-hmm. I want nothing about leaving. I'm here and I want to stay here. There will be no summer of Stafford.
He's getting paid like $42 million.
Yeah, exactly. He's not looking to be moved at this point. He's not looking to be moved at this point. This was a great one. I saw this out of the LA Times. They put people to a meter, a little round dial, and you sat and watched NFL games, and you said you dialed it up when you were anxious, when you were excited, you dialed it down when you were not.
Hmm.
Okay, so they're gauging fans.
Wow, okay.
Like their interest. Uh-huh. So if you're into it, if you're feeling really into it, if you're feeling really nervous, you dial it up, really jacked up, you dial it up. They found they did the same study in 2010. They did the same study in 2015. NFL fans are much less jazzed during a game in 2020 than they were in 2015. And in 2015, they were less than they were in 2020. They say fans are more chill.
Weed's legal in a lot of states now.
Do you believe fans are more chill today? It's like 2020. The jazzed up moments, they're calling them jazzed up moments. You were jazzed up 42% of the time in 2020. In 2015, the exact same study, said that people were jazzed up 35% of the time in 45% of the time, and in 2010 they were jazzed up close to 60% of the time.
I just think people have more going on maybe now.
I think it's the phone.
It is the phone. It's all the electronics.
I think people are watching their phones and not watching the game.
Well, there's
It's only 13 minutes of action in a 3.5
hour
window.
So sitting there on the phone, twirling through Instagram.
I love Twitter during the English game.
Pat, I was shocked by that number.
Yeah, it's surprising, but I think you might have some... You might be onto something with the phones.
With the phones, like people are distracted watching games.
Yeah, I just think there's so many other avenues that people are going down now that the one, if sitting and watching a football game and having tunnel vision on that is not a thing that's ever going to happen again.
Where can you get the best value on StubHub? Top three markets in the 2020 season as a whole for buying tickets. Where can you get the best value, meaning you can buy the seat cheaper than what it would cost you if you had bought the ticket at face value?
Oh, Jacksonville, Cincy, and Detroit.
Washington's got to be one.
Washington, yeah, that's a good one.
Pat brought that up before. Washington. Yeah. Washington's one of the teams.
Jamie said
Jacksonville's not.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's not.
Detroit. Houston.
The number one. Where'd you pull that from?
I was trying to think of markets. The Chargers was number one.
I
still don't know why the hell they'd move to L.A.
By the way, Chargers number one. Rams were number three.
Wow. I mean, it's so fans don't care.
Yeah.
Rams. But the thing is, though, the Rams get a good crowd, though. The Rams get a good crowd.
It's all out-of-towners.
Could be. Good travel spot and everything.
Yeah. They're a fun team to watch.
Not Jacksonville, though. Washington was two.
Huh.
Hey, Tire Tech USA, they'll take care of you with $50 alignments, dealer quality service at a fraction of the cost. We welcome Tire Tech USA into the John Kincaid Show family. So I figured I'd find some odd NFL stories.
So did the shotgun stats sway you at all?
They made me think. In fact, let's put it this way. When I heard you speak about it, I thought you were completely off base. The stats show me that though it absolutely is more successful when you think my way, a lot of bright offensive minds in the NFL don't agree. It shocked me.
I think there's been a big culture change the last 4 or 5 years.
Because I went looking for it to prove your ass wrong. And I wasn't. And I was the one who was more wrong. Like, as far as what the numbers are and the trends are.
That's why our debates are great.
Now, the success, though, still says, listen to
Hey,
John.
Look, if you want to go under center, third and fourth and one every time,
I say second and one. I think every time you're
I
1 yard
for it.
Do it.
As a quarterback sneak Jalen Hurts a couple times, please. I'd love to see
it. By the way, it worked on Sunday twice.
Yeah, it works every time.
If they would have done that
against
4 or 5 more times
against
this
San
season,
Fran, they would have done
they
it.
They could have another win.
They would have won against San Fran. They would have been up 14-0 against San Fran, potentially.
Yeah, the Eagles wide receivers really going to stay in bounds.
I think that you stick with things that work. You stick with things that are smart. You make great decisions. Or sometimes, like me, you make a decision and you say, let's give a segment to Pat.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's Takes.
I can't sell you any harder than that, Pat.
Hello. Thank you for that.
Hello.
I appreciate it.
Hello, brother.
Urban Meyer. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy. Urban.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's currently the butt of jokes right now around the league after the coach told the team, hey, you guys go ahead. I'll catch up.
It's an unbelievable story.
The coach headed to Ohio to party it up like he's Thornton Mellon. He headed to a college bar where his 401k and his credit score was turning on a lot of co-eds. Videos started making the rounds on the internet of one particular female who was twerking all up on the Jags coach. And the Jags coach was not opposed to it at all. Video has caused a lot of bad PR for the Jaguars, and it forced Meyer to apologize for this harlequin dancing up on him. But turns out Meyer knows exactly what he's doing, because Meyer wants out, but the Jaguars don't have a Lombardi trophy that he can take to the parking lot and destroy. So he's trying to get fired, and he figured maybe having Madeline, the 22-year-old econ major, all up on him was probably the best way to go out. How do I know this, you ask? Well, it's because Meyer told you so last year when Meyer was a football analyst for Fox. He gave us 3 examples for a struggling team. The first one, trust issues, which his wife definitely has now. The second one, a dysfunctional environment, usually caused when your coach tries to pick up your younger sister at a bar a few days after you lost your 4th game. And the third one is selfishness, as in your head coach not inviting anyone else from the team to come along. Despite Meyer's best efforts to get the hell out of Jacksonville, the Jaguars owner did not fire him, issuing him a statement condemning his actions, but saying that Meyer will learn from this. Meyer's response?
That's not true!
Yeah, so it's back to the drawing board for Urban Meyer on his quest to join the likes of Jack Del Rio, Tom Coughlin, and Doug Marrone as being introduced as former Jaguars head coaches. Silence. Thank you very much.
We will move on. What I'm going to say is, no, I think he's an embarrassing individual. I think he's an embarrassing man. I have been in his presence. I've interviewed him many times. I don't like him. I do not like him.
I think he's taking the horny self-sabotage so they fire him so he doesn't have to quit.
I'm telling you that.
I really think that. I think he wants out, and he's running for the hills.
Absolutely.
I think his marriage is in jeopardy.
Oh, probably.
And I don't think he'd do that.
Do you want to revisit the USC conversation we had a couple weeks ago?
No, but I don't think that's what it... I think he's
a coward and he wants out. He knows he's overmatched.
I think he was drunk.
He lost... Oh, he was hammered. He was liquor drunk.
So I don't believe this was a plan. He was drunk.
Out with his sleazy nightclub buddy.
By the way, Hoyt and Loess, my old producers...
Yeah.
Their show uncovered the woman's identity yesterday and revealed it.
It wasn't Madeline, 22-year-old econ
she's
major?
She's 26, and here's the thing. Here's the problem for Urban Meyer. She did a video shoot. She's the marketing video production director for that restaurant.
Yikes.
Her name is like Nebraska something, or she's got some crazy
name.
Sounds like a stripper.
LobsterTube.com.
Well, yes. Sounds like a stripper name.
Nebraska and loves a lot.
She does the marketing and PR and advertising for that place. And Urban and her have met at least once previously documented.
He's not going to make it the year.
Doesn't look good.
He's done down there.
And he's not coming out even acting like he wants
to. No, he wants to be fired. Chris Long, I thought, had a great tweet yesterday. He said, if I'm a veteran player in that locker room, I just became my own boss.
Yeah.
Like, it's done. It's over. He lost that team. He lost the locker room. He's cooked.
Imagine him walking in on a Sunday and one of the players going, hey, coach, see the Nebraska game?
She's got some name like that.
I would have had horny bonk memes all over that locker room, plastered on the walls.
All right.
They laughed at him yesterday when he finished the speech. Yeah. They reportedly laughed.
That's awesome.
Out loud.
What a coward.
All right. We'll move on from Urban to selling stuff. You've got something sitting around in your house, just collecting dust. You want to get rid of it. So what do? Well, in this day and age, you have loads of options like eBay or Facebook Marketplace. And all you have to do is just take a photo of the item, post it, wait for the fish to bite. But one man who was trying to sell a catalytic converter forgot to crop some stuff out of the photo. Walter White, who goes by the name Walt, posted a photo of the converter, which was placed on his couch. But in the background of the photo, Walt forgot to put away his large bag of meth.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
And I'm not going to argue that, but Walt was a meth man. He had a few prospective buyers, but most of them tried to haggle with White, and White just responded to each one.
Tread lightly.
Yeah, so, but the haggling actually kept the post up, and authorities ended up knocking on his door.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
Yeah, he was arrested, so the moral of the story is when selling car parts, make sure to put away your drug paraphernalia or else the DEA might pay you a visit.
I would say there are so many reputable, great places to get your auto parts, like O'Reilly.
Bang.
You don't need to go onto the internet to buy secondhand pieces.
No, not from Chet.
That's unbelievable.
And his messed
up
house.
That's an unbelievable story. How stupid could you be?
It's massive. Like
never underestimate people's stupidity. Like, I saw a Zillow listing last week in L.A. for a $1.5 million house.
Oh, that's cheap for you.
Yeah, for L.A., it probably is cheap. The guy was nude in the mirror, like he was in the frame of the doorway taking a picture of his mirrored bathroom, and it was just hanging out for all to see. And he posted them online.
Yeah, but that...
Like, that's really dumb. How are you not looking at your pictures?
Because it gets a lot of eyes on the property, if you know what I mean.
Does meth make you smarter?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. It makes you a genius.
There we go, then.
It's well known Albert Einstein was smoking meth
huge
all the time.
I saw the John Stossel on this one, too. Not one drug makes you smarter. Usage in 6 months, not one person.
What about the pill in Limitless starring Bradley Cooper?
That's based on a true story. Huh?
Gotcha there, don't I?
Roasted. I don't know the movie.
Oh, you don't?
Oh,
no, I don't. I certainly don't know
he takes a pill and you become like a genius and you can do everything great.
Really? So yeah, people would feel...
And you become addicted to
Bob,
it.
Bob, people would feel on par with us.
Movies aren't real, Jamie. You know how many pills Jamie and Pat would have to take? My God.
Yeah, a lot. All right, finally, couples love finding things to do together, whether it's John and Christina buying furniture for the new house,
yes,
or Jamie and Addie hitting up breweries, or Bob and Donna making babies, or even Coach and his right hand getting a manicure. Couples love finding... Couples love finding common interests.
The stranger.
Oh, wow.
But then there's Meghan Trainor in a recent podcast. She admitted that her and her husband have matching toilets. Not matching shirts or matching cars. They have matching American standard toilets. And they use them, like, as in, like, at the same time.
They're next to each other.
Yeah, they're right next to each other. She said after their baby was born, it would wake them up at the same time, usually in the middle of the night, and they would need to go to the bathroom at the same time. But celebrities...
What?
Celebrities don't want to wait to tinkle, so they had their contractor putting matching crappers. And at first...
Next to each other.
Right next to each other. The contract... The music... Yeah, well, it's all about the bass, about the bass. The contractor thought that they were joking, but they then wrote them a check, and it proved otherwise.
Did you poo?
Well, according to Trainor, they've only done that together once, and I now understand why Shaq wanted to denounce his celebrity status, because he's right. These people are weird as hell.
Okay, that really is weird.
I'm not going to kink shame, but I think something's up here.
Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
They're sitting on the toilet holding hands and pooping.
Yeah, maybe they're into that.
That's really weird.
That doesn't mean something's up. It means it's weird.
It means it's just really weird.
I think there's something more to this. Who the hell wakes up?
There's an explanation?
Something.
What? I can only go if I watch you go?
We've all had kids here. Who the hell wakes up at the same time both having to go to the bathroom? Well, and who can't wait a minute?
Well, more importantly, though, who doesn't... When you wake up and you get woken up by the baby in the middle of the night... Usually, if you're a guy, you're going and taking a leak.
Yeah.
If you're woken up, you're not taking a poo.
You guys can criticize this couple all you want, but it's well known.
You're not in the middle of the night woken up.
No, I wouldn't think so, unless you had something that disagreed with you.
What's the name of the dude?
It's her husband, right?
Meghan Trainor's husband.
He must sit down when he pees, then, too.
Yes, that's what I'm figuring, too.
Look, it's well... You can guys
Maybe
rip
she's
them.
Into that. That's what I'm saying. There's something else going on.
You guys can rip them, but it's well known. The research shows couples that poop together stay together.
Maybe hold hands
by the way, I lost in our place. I tried to get a urinal.
I've always wanted that in my house.
I wanted to get a urinal downstairs.
I've always wanted it, yeah.
Finally...
I was not getting it.
We need to wrap up with the Fogey to God report. Okay,
oh, yes.
We need to figure out how close he is to my proclamation. He would get 1,000 yards. After a slow start to the season, he didn't exactly come out of his shell in week 4. 0 catches for 0 yards, which matches his season total. And that is all it takes.
Good job, Pat.
Pat, beautiful job, buddy.
The coach manicure line, the wins.
That was great. That was the funniest. That was the funniest line of the week. I love that.
Oh, coach isn't happy, but
coach
we thought
isn't
it was
happy.
Great.
Wait till you hear the 10-15 meeting today. Hey, if you have a high school senior, you need to visit collegeav.com, the emotional support system that's going to help you guide the college selection process from start to finish. How are you going to pay for it? Go to collegeav student loans. They're absolutely awesome. collegeav.com. Love them. And
there's nothing wrong with a male manicure, by the way.
I've never done it. I've done the pedicure.
I've
many
done
times.
The pedicure.
Many
yeah.
times.
Yeah. Manicure is great.
No, it's fine.
You do a hand massage.
You gotta take care of your parts.
I don't. The weird thing is it seems strange, is that the pedicure is awesome.
Yeah, it is good.
I don't want. I'll clip my own nails.
I do too. That's too much. That's too. I don't know. Personal. I see those more.
Well, you may pick at yours by the time the show's done. You may have. Them
yeah.
You
yeah. My cuticles
done.
Suck.
Your cuticles are awful.
Why don't you just leave them alone?
Leave them alone, Jamie.
Well,
put some pepper on them.
Alopecia affects your nails. Like it's the hair and nail follicles are kind of the same. So I have crappy nails.
What are they crappy? What do you mean?
The cuticles suck. They're a little soft. Yeah, they're fine, but it's
Have you tried Palmolive?
No.
Palm olive, you dip your hands in.
We need to get rubber gloves and put them on Jamie for the entire show.
Hey, eat rubber gloves tomorrow? Eat rubber gloves?
I don't do that in public. I save that for myself.
Gary Struski from ESPN, if I can get the video, because his mom does. And I said, if I can get the video, he may post it on Instagram.
Of what?
Because his mom eats
of
ribs and wings. Wearing rubber
yeah,
gloves.
Smart.
Even if she goes out in public, she brings them, and he's totally embarrassed.
I don't go that
but
far.
But he'll post. I can get him to post it. Think of the followers you'd get.
I don't know.
You'd go viral, Pat.
Yeah, I don't need to go viral like that.
You would go viral.
NBC10 will be on the parking lot again. I don't need that.
No, only at the airport.
Name dropper.
Only at the airport. All right, the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. And then the sixth. We'll get to that next. Who is it? We'll get to it. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You can give a hoot during the month of October in the fight against breast cancer at your local Hooters. Visit Hooters this month. Five different ways to help. You can donate $1 or more and get your name on a card to either take home or hang up in the restaurant. You can buy a pink drink. $1 of every limited edition special pink drink sold in October is donated to breast cancer research. You can round up your check to the nearest dollar because every penny makes a difference. You can buy a calendar because $1 from every sale of Hooters legendary calendar goes to the cause, and you can support local events. All you do is visit NortheastHooters.com for details. You're going to want to get into Hooters because you love wings, you love watching football, you love drinking beer, and you can order online at HootersToGo.com. Hurry in now, get the Hooters 2022 Hooters Girl Calendar, which also is fantastic, and it includes over $100 worth of coupons. $1 from every sale goes to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Check out your local Hooters. Don't know where it is? Visit NortheastHooters.com for details.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. I'm not saying Pat's onto something, but I heard Coach scheduling a manicure for after the show. It might be date night.
Gotta keep Jill happy.
It might be date night.
If you see him sitting on his hand a lot, be warned.
Might be date night.
We don't kink shame here.
Or he's at Urban Meyer's place.
Oh.
9 o'clock hours brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com.
What's wrong with you people?
Well,
a lot.
What do you mean?
They're not being nice to you, Coach. I agree with you.
What do you mean? You think that Coach is getting a hard time this morning?
Yeah, he might be.
I don't think we're getting... I don't think that we're...
Or tonight.
I don't think we're doing that.
I hope he saves it for home.
Okay, the story was... The story was yesterday, my old producers uncovered the story and got the woman exposed. Her name is, you want to go on and check her out? Cayman, Nebraska. So you can go to Instagram right now and check her out. The woman from the video, she's not as young as you think. People are saying like a co-ed. She's not. She's 26. Her name is Cayman, Nebraska, no spaces. C-A-Y-M-A-N, Nebraska. She only had 3,700 followers yesterday. She's a Ohio State alum. Now she's supposedly 24. And her other, one of her other profiles on social media said she was 26. So I'm not sure which it is, but she says she's a vegetarian and an Ohio State alum. And she also did the videos and the promotion for her company that she works for. She did the video and promotion and advertising for Urban Meyer's restaurant. And they have video and pictures of her with Urban Meyer from last summer.
Urban Meyer now has some competition because Connor is going to be all up in this girl's DMs.
Cayman, Nebraska?
Oh, yeah.
Think so?
Oh, I'd bet my life on it.
You think there's a reason she maybe has an interest in Urban Meyer? Maybe. Like millions?
I was going to say.
And millions? I'm not thinking Connor's going to, you know, this doesn't seem to be her agenda. Because he is creepy old man.
Yeah, but shoot your
shot. Creepy old man. Hey, 9 o'clock hour of the Bagster. We appreciate the Bagster. Dumpsters in a bag. Get them at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com. Clean up your lawn. Clean up your yard. Get rid of stuff. Anthony telling me yesterday about all the stuff that he has in his house made me anxious. Like, just the idea of clutter. Clutter makes me anxious.
Yeah, me too.
It just is, I can't have it.
I definitely see that in you.
It makes me anxious. Clutter makes you anxious.
Yeah, me too.
You don't like it either.
No, I can't go to bed at night if things are just like all over the place. I have to put everything back in their spots.
I have every piece of cardboard out of the house that came, anything that came into the house in cardboard is now out of the house. All because of seeing that one Orkin commercial.
Yeah, I'm not that crazy.
Where I get rid of the, give it. Well, there's a free dumpster right out down the street.
Yeah.
So I just go to the dumpster and chuck it on out, which I'm not supposed to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, my daughter likes playing with boxes because she can put stickers and put crowns all over them. So.
Crowns?
Yeah.
She puts crowns on it?
Colors and draws. Oh. And
she draws crowns?
Sits in the box and, yeah, it's like a...
By the way, if the builder has any problem with me using their dumpster, they can come and fix the HVAC system and not have to call Delco HVAC. Don't have to call my boys. So please, stop. The top five quarterbacks in the NFL in passing yards. Okay, I know Jamie loves yards, so this is why I wanted to bring it here. I love points. Jamie loves yards.
I mean, I love points, too. But don't get me wrong here.
But you love yards. You always love
yards. You need the yards to get the points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of times yards don't lead to points.
Well, you can't get points without yards.
That is correct. But
it's chicken and egg.
David Carr.
Chicken came first.
David Carr is the leader in yards. He has 8 touchdowns, Derek. Derek Carr.
If David did that, that'd be impressive.
He's on NFL Network and he's not very good. Derek Carr is 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Tom Brady is second in yardage. 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Kyler Murray is third in yardage. 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Matt Stafford's fourth, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes is fifth, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And then we get to number 6 on the list. Sam Darnold, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. If this was the Sesame Street song, one of these 6 is not like the other. Sam Darnold's a top 6 passer right now with 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. An early season schedule got Darnold off to a great start. The Dallas game was a little more of a return to his familiar form for his career. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions against the first real legitimate opponent that was a top-notch opponent that he played. And a QB rating of 51. Now look, Jalen Hurts would kill for a QB rating of 51. I think he was a 30-something on, maybe 37 on Sunday, and a 9 against Dallas.
I think it was 38.9.
Oof. Woof. Sam looked a little better than Jet Sam for Carolina last week. I think they're a dangerous team, but making them out to be true title contenders or somebody you got to be concerned with, preposterous. They aren't the Cowboys. They aren't the Rams. They aren't the Seahawks. They aren't the Packers. They're still damn good enough to beat the Eagles, though, so we have to give them the proper respect. But it is not a hard place to play. It's like you're playing in the middle of a food court at some mall in the middle of anywhere USA. More importantly, though, the numbers show you. Sam Darnold, he's improved, but he shouldn't scare you. And that's where we begin the 9 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille. Well manicured. It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic.
Wow, this isn't leaving.
On the Fanatic.
Do the yardage thing sway you?
No, because the yardage just shows me.
Four of those 5 guys are the MVP candidates of the league.
But Derek Carr's one you already told me earlier on in the show.
I don't like Derek Carr.
Well, he's number 1 in yardage.
Yeah, that's because the Raiders stink and they just chuck it.
Number 1 in yardage. And then number 6 in yardage is Sam Darnold, which tells me all I need to know.
Well, what about the other 4 of the 6?
Well, there's MVPs.
Yes.
Every one of those guys has an MVP.
Therefore, yardage is important.
But they convert to touchdowns.
Sure. But they're not in their 8th career start.
But they convert to touchdowns. Derek Carr's in what, year 5?
I don't like Derek Carr.
And Derek Carr's the number 1 yardage guy in all the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't convert the touchdowns to interceptions like the other guys, 10 to 2, 14 to 4. He's not capitalizing.
And that's what correcting the red zone offense should be their second focus behind getting the defense.
Yeah, but
right.
This is more about Sam Darnold. I'm talking about Sam Darnold here. There's no reason to fear.
No.
There's a healthy modicum of respect that's needed for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has improved over Jet Sam Darnold. But last week against Dallas, he showed he's not that different.
Yeah, 2-2. No, he's not going to change his colors completely going to Carolina. I mean, I think we have enough of a sample size to kind of know who he is. Now, should it get better? Better coaching, better talent around him, all of that stuff? Yeah, and he could prove to be. Right now, I wouldn't even call him a capable NFL quarterback coming to Carolina, but he could change that into capable. But I don't think anything hugely above that.
Yeah, I think he's a I want to use the word serviceable with him.
Yeah.
You have to worry about him more on the ground right now than you do in the air when it comes to the red zone. He's leading the league in rushing touchdowns.
That's because
he's the first quarterback ever to have 5 through 4 weeks.
Just so you know, that quarterback draw in the red zone, watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the quarterback draw.
Did you text your boyfriend this?
Because he'll do it.
Because they got to pay attention, because I would have told him the same thing about Andy Reid's shovel pass. Yeah, I mean, Darnold is a reason why I think this is a very winnable game. I mean, the little blueprint we have so far with this defense is Matt Ryan and Jimmy G. The defense look good. Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes, the defense look like trash bag juice. So you're going to go week to week. I think the defense is going to be dependent on the opposition's quarterback, and Sam Darnold doesn't frighten me.
I think he's the least frightening quarterback you've played.
To date? I mean, Matt Ryan's cooked. I mean, we can call that.
I think the Matt Ryan's offensive front was cooked.
I think he's cooked.
I'd
take Sam Darnold over Matt Ryan today.
You would take Sam over Matt Ryan?
No. I would be like, oh, really? I got to tell you. It's the last two kids in the schoolyard so far.
I just take the youth.
I would say going into the game, Darnold is the one that scares me the least so far for Eagles.
Scares me
opponent.
The least.
Yeah.
Sure. And that includes Jimmy G. And that's saying something.
Yeah, Jimmy G was awful that game.
I think you got an opportunity here against Sam Darnold, he's going to put the ball at risk numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
That's his history, and it showed against Dallas. It is good, that, to me, that's one that you got to watch. You got to watch and say, he's going to put the ball at risk. You got to turn over. You got a flat out turnover over from a guy like Patrick Mahomes. You can get a turnover from Sam Darnold. I'm expecting at least one this week from him.
Oh, that's cute.
Except one. What? I got one from Mahomes.
No, I hear you on that one. And Mahomes on that play was like, what the hell are you doing? That would drive me nuts as a coach.
Sweatman was interfering.
But he does that stuff. The thing is, a quarterback is automatically elevated right now when they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles.
Or are they?
I don't think that's unfair.
I mean, Jimmy G and Matt Ryan looked terrible against the Eagles defense. I think the upper echelon quarterbacks will make this Eagles defense look terrible. I don't think quarterbacks
Matt
will.
Matt Ryan was completed 60% of his passes. I remember that number against the Eagles.
Yeah.
He had 60% passing, but
he got no help.
He didn't have it. He was constantly under duress, constantly getting hit. I think they only passed for like 160, 150?
Yeah.
Something like that. They did a great job.
I think they'll be okay versus mediocre and average quarterbacks.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And I don't know. I'm not talking myself into, they're going to Carolina, pencil them in for a win.
No.
But I said to Jamie this morning something that I will now share. I said, I'm not going to be shocked at all if they win this game. If the Eagles went to Carolina and won, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if we come in Monday and say, wow, they beat the Panthers, to me it's not saying, wow, they beat the Chiefs. Wow, they beat Dallas in Dallas. I don't think it's the same, Pat. I mean, are you?
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
So you would be surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, keep in mind.
What if it's 27-24?
I expect a close game, but I would be surprised if they won.
Really?
Like a close game meaning, they're in it going into the fourth quarter.
And you'd be surprised if it's a close game in the fourth quarter?
But I don't expect this team to, a lot like the Phillies this past season. I don't think they have the closing ability. I don't think, and I think it's a product of a young team. I don't have a lot of faith in this team to win many football games. I think I was down on them more than anybody on the show. So going into it, is it winnable? Yeah, I guess, but I don't expect them to win it. I expect them to keep it close.
I'm more, like right now today, I'm 55% they win, 45% they don't.
Okay. No, I'm not that high. I can't go that high.
I think this is a very winnable game.
No, I think it's I do.
So I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I'm not going to be shocked, but I'm more talking about it. I'd more put it 65-35 Carolina wins.
Something like that.
If Christian McCaffrey's playing, it's a different
story. He's not, though.
That's why I don't think
he's playing.
Well, no.
He's practicing today. Today's Wednesday.
Today's going to be his first time hitting the field.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, the two keys, I think, are you have the Eagles' strength, which is their offense, going against Carolina's strength, which is their defense. And the Christian McCaffrey thing, I think, is huge.
You got to keep an eye on that, for sure.
So, to me, those are the two keys.
DJ Moore's having an awesome year.
Yeah. I just can't trust this Eagles' defense right now yet at all.
I can't, and there's no reason to trust them.
But do you trust Sam Darnold?
No, I trust Sam Darnold, though, if you can get a turnover off of a Mahomes and you can make them go. If you make Sam Darnold go 11 and 12 plays for drives, you're going to get two turnovers.
Yeah.
If you make him move the ball the way Patrick Mahomes did, there will be two turnovers for the defense on Sunday.
Explosive plays that your boy always talks about. You know, can they limit him versus this? Look, Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore is a pretty good wide receiver duo. Can you keep the explosive plays away from them? Because the Panthers might not have enough outside of those two.
And they don't run the ball.
Yeah, if you can eliminate those two in the explosive play, you're going to have a really good shot. Because then it's going to be, all right, Sam, beat us underneath. We do tight ends and Chubba Hubba ice cream, you know? Like
Chuba.
Chubba Hubba.
Chuba.
I thought it was Chubba.
It's Chuba Hubbard.
I'm going Chubba Hubba.
Are you positive?
Chuba.
C-H-U-B-B-A.
Chuba.
It's not double B. There's only
Chuba.
One. There's only one B.
This is Philadelphia. Like, we know how to pronounce
Chubba
names.
Hubba.
No, because nobody could say Mecole Hardman all week.
Mecole. Oh, okay. Like that
McCole.
Name's John Smith.
McCole.
Mecole.
No, Mecole. It's easy. Mecole.
Maybe for you.
Cole.
Some of us is difficult.
Chuba.
Me, Bob.
Chuba.
Bob's a great name. John, easy to say.
Hey, whatever. I hate my name.
Pat, three letters.
Whatever.
You hate your name.
Oh, I hate my name. I hate the name John.
Really?
I hate the name that I have. I
never even thought about my name.
Really? I can't stand that. I look, it's coming up on the anniversary of my mom's passing. I don't want to do anything mean because my mom could probably still smite me.
You're not being mean.
I complained often about the fact that they never gave me a middle name. That they were that lazy that they never gave me a middle name.
That lazy?
That they like didn't come up with a middle name for me.
And they were tired.
They had 9 months.
You're the last one, right?
Yes, that's lazy.
I'm
my brother and sister have middle names. My mom and dad had middle names.
Still would have taken the middle name Shaq in a heartbeat.
And I got John. No, it had to be Shaqtavious or something.
It's fine.
You would have put that in your driver's license.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
And no, it had to be on all official documents.
Yeah. How much was he paying again?
It was $50,000.
Done.
Done and done.
James Shaqtavious Lynch Jr.
It would have been John Shaqtavious Kincaid.
Oh, that's
sign
cool.
me up. That's
really?
Literally a down
a
payment
great
on a house.
Story.
Okay, I'm going to. Okay, next time he's on, I'll offer it again.
All right, I'm
and
in.
You know what? I'll
no,
do it.
Let us offer.
Yeah,
no,
I'll offer it. Yeah. Hey, remember, whatever you're into, listen, you'll find it on Audible. Thrillers, motivation, comedy, more with podcasts, bestsellers, and originals all in one app. Sign up and start free at audible.com.
If he wants to go 150, I think Bob, Pat, and I can all come become Shaqtavious's.
How about...
I'll get a tattoo on my ass.
Wait a minute. Maybe we'd have a deal here. How about...
You can watch.
No.
How about the baby's middle name?
She would kill me. 50K in an education.
What if there was 50K
no,
on it?
He
would sign up in a heart attack.
Let me float this.
Shaqtavious is her middle name.
50K. Since it's my
what
daughter.
Would you do that?
Could I get do you think I could get him up to 75?
No, I think he'd probably say.
Shaqtavious is tough for
no,
a girl.
I think he'd make it say Shaquilla. Or something.
Oh, Shaquilla. I like that.
That's kind of cool. Shaquilla.
But that is her legal name.
75K, you think? I don't know that
you can negotiate with him. I mean, we'll see.
Well, since it's a girl, like, I'm one thing. I'm irrelevant
Shaquilla.
In my house.
Shaquilla.
Shaquilla Lynch.
It could work. Let's check out the Lynch pin, because there's a mind-blowing stat Jamie's got.
This is the Lynch pin.
I think we could actually, I think I might be able to get him to do it, too.
Shaquilla. I mean, I'm going to float this buyer tonight. And...
Shaquilla.
So, look, you can preface this Jalen Hurts stat conversation, and as Anthony will tell me probably when he walks in here today before he punches me.
Dude, it's over.
That stats lie and stats don't tell the whole story. I understand the Eagles are a bad team. He's been playing from behind. There are some garbage yards included in this stat. But I can't shake the company he's with. This stat is the most total yards through 8 quarterback starts in NFL history. Number one is Cam Newton at 2,600 yards. Just behind him is Jalen Hurts at 2,584. Right after him is Justin Herbert and then Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. And what do they have in common?
Well, there's two MVPs in those four.
Okay. What else they have
in
common?
And Justin Herbert is, you know, one of the young up-and-coming arms everybody would love to have on their team. You can preface the conversation with whatever you want. The fact he's in that air of company, I'm not saying he's going to become them at all. But it's pretty damn impressive.
I got to tell you, I haven't walked away. I'm not a detractor yet.
No.
But I have certainly not walked away watching Jalen Hurts' starts and gone, jaw-dropping. Wow. All-time exceptional. This is, Mm-mm. I've walked away going,
but the results,
I don't like that.
We're talking just you. Yeah, but the wins and losses is a team stat.
Funny, the great quarterbacks tend to have great one-loss stats.
Nobody can persuade that stat more than the quarterback.
Sure, absolutely.
And great quarterbacks tend to have great one-loss.
But I can't stop thinking about that company he's with.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, we overanalyze everything and do this and do that.
Garbage time stats help your garbage time stats big time. He's had tons of garbage time stats in
his
career.
I think more playing from behind might be beneficial than garbage time.
Well, I would say anytime you're down by 10 or more, when I hear your passing stats in the fourth quarter.
But what rookie quarterback goes into a good situation? Like Patrick Mahomes went into an okay situation. Peyton Manning went into an awful situation.
Patrick Mahomes took over a playoff team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He went into a good situation.
He went into a good situation.
Justin Herbert. I mean, the Chargers are a solid franchise. I think they do well overall.
Carson Wentz stepped in as a rookie quarterback to a 7-9 team the year before.
Yeah.
They were not a dumpster
fire. But most rookie quarterbacks that are going to be in this category are stepping into relatively poor situations. So I can't even hold that against him that much. It just shocks me he's up there with those four, I guess, is my bottom line.
I got soured on numbers and stuff like that a little bit when this guy Nerlens Noel was playing for the Sixers, and people started telling me that his, like, defensive presence over 38 minutes matched Wilt Chamberlain.
All right, well, that's ridiculous.
Know, stuff like that. You know, and you know what? All right, let's put it this way. Are we underappreciating what he's doing, and do these numbers say absolutely?
I think to a degree, yes, and that's kind of the point I'm getting at. Like, I think everybody's so hypercritical and expecting greatness, right?
I don't think it is.
Okay, maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of people are being hypercritical for just eight games.
I got to tell you this. I heard it on Mike Missanelli's show yesterday. It was about it, said that people are being ultra-critical of Jalen Hurts. I disagree completely. Not a little bit. Completely. I think people are being very patient with Jalen Hurts.
I do too.
I don't think anybody has called, I don't hear anybody ever call this show going, I'm out on Hurts. No chance. But I think people are being very objective with
Jalen
Hurts.
But like if Carson Wentz was second on this list for first eight games, people would be like, oh my God, we got it. We got the quarterback. Jalen Hurts puts those numbers up and there's excuses about it. You know what I mean? It's just.
Well, Carson Wentz was 3-0. With less passing yards and was 3-0.
Yeah, with a much better team.
As a rookie quarterback.
I guess it's eye test.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do think there's a degree of underappreciation.
I guess it could be. I don't believe there's been any of that with Jalen Hurts.
I'd agree. I don't think it's overwhelming or anything, but I do think some people, I don't know.
All right.
Aren't letting, they have a preconceived notion of Hurts, and it's hard for them to get off of it. And that is brought to you by PropSwap.com. PropSwap's the number one app to buy and sell golf bets all weekend long. Golf is perfect for PropSwap, so head there today, buy a golf bet, and sell it for a huge profit this weekend.
You're good at that.
Your final Name That Flyer clue comes your way after the bottom of the hour.
Ben Wilson.
And at 9:45, you can call in and guess after getting all three clues. Dave the Hammer Schultz is not invited in here because he'd hammer my ass.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. That would be great.
He literally got dragged out of a stadium by the police. All because of me.
Try and run? Because it's a tough studio to get out of.
I stood there that night and just stood and stared at him. And I told my players, if he gets past you, you're never skating for me again.
Bob, anybody ever want to punch you on the beat?
Oh, there you go. I bet. College football, I have a question about it coming up. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I just saw a report yesterday. Natural gas prices in a year have doubled. Doubled. Do you know what it's going to be this winter? Cold. Do you know what your heating bill is going to be in your house? Horrible. That's why Window Nation wants to help you right now. Window Nation wants to give you a great deal. Buy two windows, get two free. No money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. So we're talking about the fall of 2023 before you have to pay for these beautiful new windows that are going to keep the warm air in and keep that cold air out. If natural gas prices are going to be double this winter, you're going to have a terrible heating bill. Window Nation can help start saving you money. And then next summer, they're going to keep the hot air out and the cold air in. Get it? You start saving money. You have beautiful new windows. You can do window shopping online at windownation.com. Every style, every color you could ever want. Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Do it now. Save on the bills all winter long. Tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show.
There we go.
The Fanatic. First one of the week there.
Yeah, it's not bad. Wednesday.
You almost had one the other day where you just missed the
button. I caught myself.
You caught yourself from talking.
Yeah,
but
I caught myself.
Close.
I was very, very close on that.
Speaking to the mic, bitch.
It's the flyer clue number three in our Name That Flyer.
Is this where we name the flyer?
No.
Oh.
9:45 is where we name the flyer.
Dave Poulin.
This flyer scored his first career NHL goal on October 26th, 2016 versus the Sabres.
Branko Radivojevic.
Murray Craven.
It was not Murray Craven. Who scored what famous goal for the Flyers?
I don't know.
Their only goal in Game 7 of the 1987 Stanley Cup Final.
Oh, wow. Was Craig McTavish a Flyer at one point?
He was.
Yeah, I thought so.
He was.
It's not him.
He's helmetless Craig
McTavish. The last player to play without a helmet.
Yeah. That's right.
Correct. And he did Big House Time, didn't he?
Did he?
Didn't he have to do some Big House Time
tax
for that?
Evasion?
I think he recently got some stuff.
No, he killed somebody driving.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he did the Matthew Broderick thing. He did. He had a problem with that.
Okay.
He had a problem. An incident happened.
You learn stuff.
It's not Matthew Broderick, but college football.
Yeah, he killed a woman.
Killed a woman driving.
Yeah.
Under the influence. Anthony and I share a common passion. And not only primo hoagies and stuff. We love college football.
He's going to come in fired up today.
Anthony and I love talk. I enjoy talking college football with Anthony. But I swear it's like, there are just not many people that I find talking college football up here, and I love Anthony's passion from it. Two guys.
That's right, brother.
Two guys from Philly and Temple who love talking the top teams in the nation, players, coaches, etc. Now, three times now since college football season's begun, I have visited sports bars on Saturdays, and hardly anyone is watching games. Games are on. But, like, there aren't groups of people sitting, hanging on plays and watching games in college football. Now, it seems like it's just Penn State and Notre Dame up here that anyone has a following for. Isn't anyone watching the SEC? First of all, they're the best players in the best games. And most importantly, with three draft picks to go this year, hopefully first-round draft picks, you're going to be shopping in the SEC aisle, hopefully, for at least two of them. Do some guys just look at Saturday as their day off from sports because Sunday is such a big deal here? Because I'm shocked when I have walked into some really fine establishments and on a Saturday afternoon, no one's watching the college football. The games are on, but there's nobody like hanging on it. They're just eating and drinking.
It's entertainment for people up here because of the lack of college, you know, major college football up here. You came from obviously college football heaven down there in the South. Here, it's entertainment Saturday. Yeah, we all watch college football. Invested, rooted interest. That is where the separation comes from where you came from.
And because what I'm saying now is that, well, I remember too, because I have some of my Fugazi relatives that are big Notre Dame people.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, I know. My Uncle Yummy was a big Notre Dame guy. I'm like, what Yum? What are you? You're from Ardmore. Like, what are you big Notre
Irish?
Dame guys? Yes.
Well,
I'm Irish, so I'm
there you go.
Notre Dame guy.
That's half their fan base,
so
if not more.
It's and then the thing is, though, is when the Walmart alumni of schools that follow these programs make fun of you for following your school, that's where it pisses me off.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm following my school.
Penn State's the only thing you'll see around here where there's a concerted effort to get together and watch a game. Like, my cousins are a bunch of alumni.
Do they have a lot of Walmart alumni, though?
No, I don't think so. It's such a big school. I just think they have a big alumni base.
The people that just go into the by the Penn State shirt?
Not a ton.
Because a lot of people from around here went there.
No, no, no. But they're not Walmart alumni. No, they're Parchment alumni.
Pat's going to tell you yes, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No.
So it's
not. There's plenty of Penn State fans that went to Westchester, Temple, Newman. I mean, the local college is growing. They grew up as Penn State fans because in this area, it's either Penn State or Notre Dame.
It's not as big as
nobody else.
Yeah, but to his point, there is, like, growing up, I loved college football and I wanted somebody to root for, but I never really felt it with Penn State. Felt like I was forced into rooting for them. So now I'm just a general college football fan and it's kind of lame.
Okay.
But I think if you go to a Penn State...
I'm a vagabond.
If you go to a Penn State bar and everyone's wearing Penn State stuff, I bet you if you pulled the bar and said, how many of you guys went to Penn State? If there's like a table of four, I bet one of them. Maybe two.
I'm not thinking it's a bunch of... I think Penn
State... Okay, do that same thing in the South. Look at University
of Georgia. No, I always say, that's why I call them Walmart alumni.
There's a lot of fans that didn't go to school there. You can do that for every fan base.
Absolutely. Yeah, but that's all he's saying.
Yeah, but I don't think it's as nearly as big as he thinks. I think a lot of people in this area went to Penn State. A lot. They have a huge graduating class.
I have friends that have kids that go to Penn State. If they go up to a game and they take
their
other
kids. Well, then
they're
Penn State fans, yes.
Like Ricky Bo's daughter, he was wearing a Penn State hoodie last week.
No, but that's different. You didn't just walk into your local department store and say, I'm a Penn State fan, I'm picking up a T-shirt. You have a tie. Your kid goes to Penn State.
Okay, to Pat's point, of 1 in 4 at the table might have graduated from there. Okay, but a lot of people paid money to Penn State. A lot of people went up to Happy Valley to see a big-time experience because that's the only one we had.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that there's not more...
It's the only thing we got, college football-wise.
We're not ripping these people, by the way.
We're not ripping them.
I'm not defending.
You sound like you're adamantly, like, we're not ripping
them. I think you guys are underestimating how large Penn State is. It's a large university.
It is.
With a large reach. So I think a lot of people that are paying attention to it.
It's got a campus like in every single community. Like, it's Big Lots.
Sure.
Like, there's a Big Lots.
I just know, in my group, you know, which is pretty expanded, of friends and all that stuff, I don't have anybody that's flugazi fans of anything.
You know,
maybe it's an age group thing or whatever it is, but no. I mean, we went out to Notre Dame a couple of times to see games, and there's a bunch of Irish Catholics in my group that whose fathers, you know.
And they adopted Notre Dame.
And we went out there for the fun. Oh, my God, it's so much fun. But we also talked about, let's go to an SEC game every year. Let's do this.
I want
to
do that.
And then these little things called kids started coming along, and we couldn't do it anymore. But... in my group of friends, no, there's no, like Rock, he loves UCLA basketball. Because when we were growing up, UCLA basketball was, you know, all there. But no, I don't get a lot of Penn State
I've never, the what I will never accept, though, Pat, is shade from the college football fan who is the Walmart alumni. Who, rips on you for, you're watching Temple football? Yeah, because I actually went to the university. Where'd you go?
I didn't go there.
You're not associated with... wait a minute. No, but I mean, you understand it.
No, I do. And I had this conversation with a couple of buddies, and they were all Temple alum. I didn't get in. But we were talking about how my friend gets crap from his other friends for watching Temple.
Right.
It's like, what, you watching Temple? And meanwhile, they're Notre Dame fans, LSU fans, Alabama fans. And it's like, yeah, dude, I don't know what to tell you. This is my squad. Like, I went there... I know they suck, but I got to cheer for them because that's where I went. And
John Cheeseboro says, if Temple was good and not a stepping stone program, we'd hear more about college football.
1,000%.
I'm a Temple guy, and I'm not lying about it at all.
You were on the morning show when Temple played Notre Dame at, you know, on game day.
Yeah, game day
broadcast.
Was here.
We did broadcast from
Temple.
It was
crazy.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be like a main talking point.
But it dominated the conversation.
But it would still be a much more than it is, because every time Temple gets good in football, then it blips off.
I mean, look at Villanova basketball, for example. Like, this is just a pro town. Villanova's probably the best college basketball program going in the country right now. If not, they're top 3 or 4.
Yeah, they're in the mix. Sure, absolutely.
They don't get discussed ever.
No.
So it's just a pro town. I don't think college sports is going to be a main vein of our discussion or focus.
Yeah, I mean, it just surprises me because... What's going to happen is, and I saw it this year, this was the first year that I did draft discussions here in Philly. I was shocked that there are a lot of people who had no idea on guys that I would think would be top of mind. And then they're reading draft reports on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just reading what someone else's opinion is on them. I would think right now, if you have a chance to put on an SEC games this fall, the Eagles are going to be sitting there with a treasure trove of draft picks this year.
Yeah, just watch Georgia and Alabama.
Watch Georgia. Watch Georgia and Alabama, and then drool.
Georgia's got some defenders that I'll take right now. They don't even have to wait.
I'm the bum on this. I have to admit, I don't have rules for people who want to be fans of things. If you do, that's great.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
don't troll other people if you're not a real, if you don't have a tie to a school, be ripping on somebody who actually has a tie to a school. Oh. If someone has a tie to a school and you didn't go to a school, don't be like, well, this is my school. No, they aren't. You bought a t-shirt. That's not your school.
I bought a jersey too.
You did buy a jersey.
Somebody says I like that school.
Trolling people of other programs. Mike Missinelli wants to troll on Temple football as a Penn State guy, a proud Penn State guy. He's got every right. He's a Penn State guy. He's got parchment. He's a Penn State guy. I don't want to hear from the guy who just picks up a Penn State t-shirt and then is talking trash.
Because of the Paterno situation, I don't think there's a lot of.
They're very quiet.
Well, why would you be a fake Penn State fan these days?
No, there's no reason to be.
Exactly.
And by the way, what they do with that fawn.
It's incredible.
I think it's one of the most amazing things that I've ever heard
of. I've had friends and cousins be a part of it, and it's amazing.
But it's one of the, I can't believe more people aren't doing it.
Yeah, it's one of the largest fundraisers.
Because it's incredible.
It's incredible.
And more importantly, so many of the students are the driving force.
Oh, I think it's all
organized. It's spectacular. And I can't believe more student bodies don't try to duplicate it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of dedication. I'm sure it takes a lot of planning.
Yeah.
And stuff. But it's amazing.
Oh, it is. It's
amazing what they do.
I had a niece and a nephew that were involved in it, when they went there. And it's really, really cool what they do.
And Jay Greco saying, don't knock Walmart. Jay, I love Walmart. Dude. There's nobody who loves going into the Walmart more than me, especially I'll buy the little can of shaving cream because you can get the little travel size cans and they'll have them in like the 99 cent bin before I'm spending like the $3.49 for the big one. I love Walmart. I absolutely love it. By the way, Young Sheldon joins the Big Bang Theory on PHL 17. Weeknights at 7 and 9:30. Family night is every night on PHL 17. Join the Coonies and watch Young Sheldon every single night. All right, it's time for Bob's watching it every single night. Time to guess who our secret flyer is. Who is the secret flyer? Call in now and guess. Who is the secret flyer? 610-632-0975. And by the way, if you can't get this, you don't have Google. It's simple. You could have gotten it with the first question. You could have gotten it.
I'll give another hint if I'm allowed, Coach.
Why would you do that? We haven't gotten a winner yet.
I know, but
don't give another coin yet.
Yeah, it's simple. Like you with Jonathan Gannon.
Okay. You're giving it away. You can't
do
that.
Don't do it.
610-632-0975.
Give it away. That just gave it away.
Oh, my God.
Way to go, Bob.
By the way, Luke Geo says he's a huge Walmart gym shorts guy.
All right.
I didn't know Walmart had a brand of gym shorts.
Well, like Kirkland is Costco, right?
No, but I didn't know they had their own brand.
Yeah, they probably just start. They realized they were selling so much, might as well start their own brand.
What do they have? Walmart on the
gym? I don't know.
Walmart's on the gym short?
I don't know. It might just be playing with their company inside.
Yeah, he might just be talking about the gym shorts that you can get at Walmart.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Yes.
They probably produce their own. Yeah.
No, you can buy Champion at Walmart.
Champion's back now.
And it's back.
Champion's huge.
The teenagers love Champion.
Yeah, okay. It's crazy.
All right, get in. Do we have a winner yet?
When's Umbro coming back?
With who?
I don't think they're coming back. You don't know Umbro?
Umbro?
No. What about LA Gear?
There's the Humphrey brothers.
He's young for that. He's a little young for Umbro.
Really?
The Umbro soccer shorts?
Yeah, I grew up an Umbro man or boy.
No, you were. Michael's our winner.
That was soccer, wasn't it? Yeah.
Michael, who is the mystery flyer?
It would be Travis Konecny.
And you now have Michael. A Travis Konecny jersey to give you. How about that?
All right.
A Travis Konecny jersey for you. And courtesy of our friends at AAA, Michael, for all the places you're headed, planned, unplanned, or otherwise, we'll see you there. AAA, a proud partner of the Philadelphia Flyers. Congratulations. Honesty, did you get it on the first guess or the second guess?
First guest. Yo, guys, thank you very much. Greatly appreciated. Love your show, guys.
Love it, man, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Good job, Michael. Michael's the winner of the Travis Connect New Jersey.
Yeah, John wasn't here during my love.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I've heard about it from you.
Yeah.
I've heard there is a great, great love of Travis Connect.
Yeah, he let me down last year a little bit. More than a little bit. I was
no, he let you down. No. He needs to bounce back.
Yeah, he better. Yeah.
Absolutely. Luke says he can't tell you the brand, but they're can't miss.
All right.
In the Walmart gym shorts.
All right.
I think they're champion. I know they carry.
And one.
They don't have and one, do they? At Walmart, they do.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wow.
And one was huge in the basketball camps in the 90s.
You
needed and one gear.
You can get Shaq sneakers at city Walmarts. At Walmarts that have city locations, you can get the Shaq sneakers.
For cheap, right?
Yeah, he only makes his.
Yeah, that's
his
cool.
Sneakers cannot be more than
$29.99 or something.
Something very.
Yeah.
He doesn't allow that.
He's the best Shaq. He's cool as hell.
I tell him he goes over to China every summer, and I would be sort of rude with him, and I'd be like, do you let the kids up? Do you unchain the kids that are making the sneakers?
Yeah, that's one thing.
But he goes every year, and he brings the phone.
Yeah.
And he has to show me the phone to go, here.
That's cool.
Here's my factory. It's not little kids. I'm like, do the kids get to get up and leave? Do they have air conditioning?
I am a believer. Put that factory in Louisiana.
Oh, man. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Now you're not going to get the shoe for $29 here because they're going to tax it.
Yeah, well.
They're going to make it crazy.
I'm pro-America, but you know, let's
I bet
manufacture
you are.
In America.
Well, you got to make it friendly for business, though.
I hear.
Got to be able to do that, too, which helps.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know. We got a big game coming up this weekend. I was telling about Sam Darnold earlier. Sam Darnold's the sixth leading passer in the NFL right now. That tells me the yards don't mean a thing.
And leading rushing touchdown scorer.
Anybody who looks at stats in the NFL is just an idiot.
Well, wait a minute. The stats are really good for the guys ahead of him.
Didn't see this one coming.
For the most part. Nah, the stats are ahead of him really good.
Stats are the worst.
Brady and Mahomes and Rod.
Well, you don't need stats to tell you that Mahomes is good.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, like the yards. What do you say to the
quantifying performance is weird.
Oh, it's not about because stats lie. Stats lie.
John,
no, they do. Only a fantasy.
Yardage doesn't.
Be a fantasy guy.
Yes.
You're down 2-3 scores and you get 2 garbage touchdowns.
Yardage.
And you pad stats.
Yes. Huh? It's
only,
the truth.
Only a fake football guy would look at that.
You know, 4 of the 6 top passing leaders in yardage in the NFL are all the MVP candidates.
Now, wait a minute, though. The number one guy.
You could use your eyes if you had them.
The number
one.
Now I'm blind.
The number one guy. In yardage, he ripped her. I had the note waiting, and I let him into a discussion, and he ripped Derek Carr. Ripped him.
I
don't like him. He's the number one guy in yards.
I agree with him.
I don't like Derek Carr.
No, but I'm saying, but he was the number one guy in yards.
Good job.
It tells you all you need
to
know.
Who are the next 4?
Here's the thing.
Next 4, we're good
guys. The thing that bothers me about him, all right?
Tell us.
Is that he knows better. I believe he's a good sportsman. I do. But he gets every once in a while, he gets into that lazy narrative because his fantasy football team's doing whatever.
Yards. No, I'm out on fantasy this year. It's kind of lost me.
You stink at it.
I loved your take.
The daily fantasy's better.
The food and with football. The baby.
Oh,
that was awesome.
I'm going
he was
cosmic.
Lured in. Every time the baby comes up, food comes together.
Yeah, I love it. I heard I was the greatest.
Did you sleep in the room when your wife had the babies?
I was
did
there.
Did you sleep over? Where did you go?
No,
home?
We had a C-section, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we scheduled it. Yeah,
okay, so scheduled.
I was one night in. Last time I was both nights in. This time I'm going to do 1 and 1.
I would have been there.
It sucks sleeping on that couch. I'm gonna bail for a
two
night.
Chairs and just.
It sucks.
I did that a couple times.
Bob did not know when he was born. Do you know when you were born? Morning, afternoon, night.
I don't remember mine either.
So you don't know either. You don't know.
No,
I know. 8:13 at night. I think it was because my mom had the bracelet.
Really?
She kept the bracelet in a thing, right. So I saw the bracelet that they took off me. And they would not let my parents see me for 24 hours.
Why?
Because I was breech.
Oh, yeah.
And I was strangling on the umbilical cord.
Yeah.
And my face got crushed in.
You get backwards.
And they wouldn't show.
You had a cone. You were a conehead.
It was terrible.
Because the babies can be coneheads.
Bobby was my first was a conehead.
So they
and
would
and
not
it comes
let,
back to normal.
Yes, but they would not let my dad didn't
scary.
See me till Christmas. And I was born on the 23rd.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Wouldn't show.
That's
me.
Weird.
Can you imagine doctors? They boss people around and said, you're not allowed to see a baby?
No, let me ask you guys a question. How back in the day, dudes would be in a bar
when their kids are being born.
Yeah.
Like, that's smoking insane, cigs. Right? Like,
my dad was at the Daily News when I was born.
Well, the paper had to get out, Bob.
I swear, I'm not kidding you. Somebody drove my parents to the hospital. He wrote my mom a note and went to work and then found out
that I was a note. What do you mean a note? Back in the day,
I still have
there
it.
Was no, like, how we are sense. Today, where we're in the room, you know, whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, what you call it's got sympathy pregnant pains.
Oh, well, and now they have, yeah,
and now you have now you have the couple shower. I don't believe in that. Yeah, that's horrible. Come on,
it's a couple shower.
No, it's not.
No, right. It's not.
No, it's horrible.
And let's tell, what's the baby going to be?
Listen, I'm just saying, there's a happy medium between, yo, dude, you can't sit in a bar while your kid's getting bored. Come on, man.
Let's go on social.
You can go to the bar after the kid's born.
Yes.
I'm meeting my buddies at a bar for a celebratory whiskey.
I did that.
Yeah.
Now, that's great. Now, that's a great thing.
Whatever, you're in town.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to pen
Anthony,
again.
I don't think you were big on the baby reveal of the sex either.
No.
Let's have a party and have it social media. And
what do the stats say?
I didn't think you were big on that. I don't think you'd be big on that one.
No.
I can't imagine Anthony at a gender reveal party. Let's put it on let's put it on the gram.
Yeah, no.
No, Anthony's not doing any of that. You're out on that one. You're out of that one. I ask you one question. All you have to do is just answer the question easily. Would you be surprised, is the key word, would you be surprised if the Eagles won on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. You're like Pat Egan. You and Pat Egan are the only ones saying
hello,
yes.
Pat.
There you go. Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, the Davis CPA Group. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We appreciate you being a part of the show. Tomorrow, we've got game time. I'm sure the boys have something fun up their sleeve for that. Plus, we get closer and closer to the Eagles trying to salvage the season or just make a better impression. Be with us tomorrow at 6 for the John Kincaid Show. Cuz Radio comes your way next here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.